much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
On the surface, I had to look positive. I was smiling, I was laughing along with it, but inside, I felt degraded and humiliated, especially.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And that's the story. There's nothing strange nor mysterious about menstruation. All life is built on cycles. And the menstrual cycle is one normal and natural part of nature's eternal plan for passing on the gift of life.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?"
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
You're on the air right now. You're on.
What it is this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just found out I have Asperger's syndrome.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
Roll another one.
This is for the Holy God!
Just like the other one.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration.
There seems to be about to quit.
Do you think this room is at the Marriott?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
He's like the gayest person I've ever met.
Roll. Roll another one.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about.
Skin and wear it as a coat.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Is there really a more clear way to describe white pants?
I know nothing about nothing.
And now,
why can't I reach the 50-50 department?
Our feature presentation.
It's a good question. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 21st of March. Thank God it's spring. Woo! It's been a rough winter.
Right?
Tell you that.
This is going to be amazing now.
I don't know if you saw the headline out of Honolulu. This is a bizarre story. Hawaii law lets police have sex with prostitutes. Police have sex with prostitutes.
Is this when they're doing stings?
Yes, it's undercover work.
Well, Kevin, literally. I bet they let them do drugs, too.
Honolulu police officers have urged lawmakers to keep the exemption in state law. Because some people in the legislature are going, it seems like you could do that job without actually having sex with them.
Like all the other states do?
Yes, but they actually are allowed right now, undercover officers, to have sex with prostitutes during investigations. Authorities say they need the legal protection to catch lawbreakers. Critics, of course, say they can do it without having sex with them. It's not immediately clear how often or even if Honolulu police are having sex with prostitutes. Well, I'd say the fact that they're arguing to keep this law where they can have sex with prostitutes pretty much says they're having sex with prostitutes.
Oh, they're having sex. And they are fighting for those jobs.
Yes. And authorities assure legislatures that internal policies and procedures are in place so that it doesn't have to happen.
Oh, my God.
But if it does have to happen, they need the legal precedent to do it. They need that backup.
Do they have so many more police officers?
Probably. They have a long line of people at the airport, like guys
people
out.
Are leaving L.A. I'm going to go
like guys
there.
Outside of Home Depot. They're just standing around hoping they need a police officer. The Hawaii bill that sparked the debate goes before a Senate committee today. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow, that's exciting. Very
police
exciting
officers
news.
Fighting for the right to have sex with prostitutes. That's pretty strong. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Writer, director, actor, part-time Kevin and Bean employee, Kevin Smith.
Yay.
We'll be in studio today.
Always good.
We also have the movie beat because it is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the latest Pope Francis story, but, well, Italian's not his first language. He's from Argentina. Mm-hmm. And he said a pretty bad word the other day.
Oh, by accident.
It's the F word. I'll be honest with you. That's it. So we'll talk about that. He did it on accident and tried to correct his correct it. Matt Walsh will also be in the studio talking about A Better You, which looks like a fantastic movie, and he's looking for funding to finish it.
Okay.
Thanks for that Tweet Us is coming up today. Dave found out yesterday that Twitter was celebrating their 8th birthday,
mm-hmm.
and in doing so, they allowed you to go back and search for your first tweet. And so he went back and found all of our first tweets.
No, I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't either. It's not going to go well.
I have no idea what mine would have been.
So I don't either. And
none.
I thought, well, certainly if it's a picture of food, we know it's Dave.
Right.
That's pretty much all. That's all we know. And Omar Epps will be in studio as well.
Wow.
Talking about the great new show Resurrection, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And we've got your tickets for Coachella at 9 a.m.
Okay.
So stick around. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Kesha. Kesha is reborn.
She out of rehab?
Out of rehab. She's clean. She's sober. And she's changed, man. She's calm. She's centered. She doesn't need that BS anymore. The dollar sign is gone.
What?
The
really?
Dollar sign is gone.
She took the dollar sign out of her name?
It's gone.
How are we supposed to recognize her?
She is now going by just Kesha.
Well.
K-E-S-H-A. Kesha.
It's a big change, you're right.
She feels better about herself. She's changed her Twitter handle from Kesha Sucks to Kesha Rose, her middle name. She's back, man. She's back, and no one gives an F. Just saying. Speaking of rehabs, how tenuous is Lindsay Lohan's hold on sobriety? Well, RadarOnline.com is reporting that the minute after she wrapped up her docuseries for the OWN Network, she fired her sober living coach,
really?
Michael Cormier.
Yeah, that's the guy that was tailing her around everywhere.
Making sure she didn't pick up a bottle. Word is, Michael didn't want her hanging out with one of her hardcore party buddies named Gavin Doyle. She chose the friendship over working with Michael, the clean living coach. That seems like a bad move.
Yeah.
Word is also that she hasn't attended an AA meeting in months. However, Lindsay blames her poor attendance on the paparazzi. She doesn't want them following her to her AA meetings and doesn't want doing it for the other people in the meeting as well as herself.
Well, it's nice of her.
Well, actually, that sounds like a legitimate beef. If everywhere you go, they're there and you're going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
Yeah. It does, but are you going to zero meetings? Then that's probably not good.
I agree. But I can imagine it'd be harder for her to go than the average person. Anyway, that's all, you know, rumor and hearsay. There's no actual evidence that she has been using again, but it seems like little by little she's inching her way back to Magic Town.
The Hasselhoff land.
Looking forward to it. Karrueche Tran, Chris Brown's girlfriend, looks like she has finally kicked him to the curb. Well, you know, what with him being in prison and all, I guess makes it hard on the relationship. Here's my favorite part of the story. Turns out while she was visiting him in rehab last month, when he was still in there, she came across some inappropriate text messages from other women on his phone while she's there visiting him in rehab. Insiders claim he was also enjoying some extracurricular relationships with fellow patients while inside the rehab, supposedly getting help for his anger issues.
Life is just the same for him inside or out, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow.
Drew Barrymore said that she may be a little overprotective and a little innocent in the ways of the world. She was at home with her one-year-old daughter last Tuesday when someone repeatedly knocked on her door. So Drew, of course, immediately called 911. Local police dispatched a helicopter to her home. When discovered, it was a crew of AT&T servicemen who were trying to fix the phone. Here's a little tip for Drew for next time. Try this. Who is it? Try that before you start dialing 911.
Oh, my God.
For F's sake. Jeez, how out of touch of the world are you? You don't know how a door works? You have to panic because someone's at your house? Steve O, I mentioned yesterday he was in trouble with the authorities in San Antonio for doing a backflip off their bridge there. Well, it turns out he has been officially charged with a crime. Well, not officially yet, but he's under investigation for a crime that is called deadly conduct.
Yeah, dude.
Which sounds like a great Steven Seagal movie.
It does.
That involves a crime that occurs when someone engages in a reckless activity that could place them or someone else in danger of great bodily injury. Deadly conduct. Da-da-da. Yeah, everyone, you know, get in the truck. It's deadly conduct. New, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's punishable by up to a year in jail.
Wait a minute. If he did a backflip off that bridge, right?
Yes, he did.
Did he get hurt?
No, he did not.
Did he hurt anyone else?
He did not, sir. But he engaged in deadly conduct. Da-da-da-da.
Huh. That's odd.
Seems like they're wasting their time. But what do I know? Maybe Phil Robertson opening his mouth and smack talking about gays and all those other crazy things he said, maybe it actually is having an effect on the Duck Dynasty audience. The second to the last episode this week was the least watched episode since November of 2012.
That's really...
About a third of the people who were watching the show before Phil Robertson had that controversy when he was preaching intolerance against the gays. So maybe people are turning away because of that, or maybe they're just getting bored.
Either way, yeah. It's all right.
Can you watch a bunch of guys in beards talk about their duck calls?
Really not doing much either, for the most part.
Nope. Have you seen, by the way, the photos of that family from like a couple years ago online?
Mm-mm.
Where they're all wearing like Izod shirts and Bermuda shorts, clean shaven, golf outings. That's like the biggest bunch of yuppies ever. Apparently this image is just completely manufactured.
Wow.
This is a brand new thing for them. It's not like they grew up in the bayou, you know, just slogging along in their fan boats with long hair and bandanas. This thing is a cultivated choice. They're at a resort. They're all tan. They're drinking like Michelob Ultras. And they have short hair and Izod shirts. It's crazy when you see their photos as early as a couple years ago. So maybe we're all being taken in. And Mick Jagger arrived in L.A. yesterday. From Perth, Australia, where the Stones just canceled their entire tour of Australia and New Zealand. Of course, Mick is making funeral arrangements for his girlfriend, fashion designer Loren Scott, who
That's
committed
rough.
Suicide on Monday. Yeah. Apparently, Mick's kids are also in town trying to console Mick, who, as you can understand, is just destroyed. They were together for 13 years. I had no idea the relationship was that long.
Yeah.
The canceled Stones shows in Australia and New Zealand will be rescheduled for this fall. They can finish up that leg, but as you can imagine, he has no interest in going on stage and singing. I can't get no satisfaction when he's dealing with that stuff. So, sad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. 41 singer and guitarist Derek Whibley is 34 years old. Kevin, I'm going to need some help on this one. A soccer player, Ronaldinho.
He's one of the greatest ever, Ralph.
He's 34 years old. Well, everyone knows it. Look at all the posters lining the streets.
They are everywhere else.
He is 34 years old. Kevin Federline is 36 years old today with five kids. 36 years old. Rhys Darby. How much do we love Rhys Darby?
He's the best.
Yeah.
Murray, of course, from Flight of the Conchords. 40 years old. Rosie O'Donnell, actress and comedian. Is 52. Matthew Broderick, also 52 years old today. Gary Oldman, one of my favorite actors, is 56. And singer Eddie Money, baby. Mother effing Eddie Money is 65 years old today.
Ralph has an unnatural love
yes.
for Eddie Money.
Oh, yes. There will be tickets to Paradise sometime today, I guarantee you. And maybe a little shaking. Maybe we'll just do a greatest hits montage.
Maybe we won't.
I think I'm going to get Omar working on that montage as we speak. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. Hey.
106.7 K-Rock is hey. KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:22. It is time. It's Friday. And it's time
it
for
is
the
time. It's Friday. Yes. I agree with you.
I probably would have gone worse had you let me go.
Oh, damn it.
It's Friday and time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies.
Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Odd weekend this weekend. Strange films. Weird, wacky stuff. No biggies.
Is that because of March Madness? Do they try and avoid?
I don't think that's a time, really, that they avoid in terms of
releasing big movies.
Yeah, the blockbusters. I just think sometimes, you know, you hit these fallow periods where the smaller films have a chance to breathe because the big ones are already out. And this is one of those weekends. Let's talk about some of these films, many of them in limited release. So if you're interested, you're going to have to dig a little bit harder to find out where they're playing and check them out. Starting with a movie that has had a lot of controversy surrounding it, Nymphomaniac Volume 1. This is from director Lars von Trier. He got a bunch of high-profile actors to perform ultra-erotic scenes on the screen in the story of a self-diagnosed nymphomaniac who recounts her erotic experiences to a man who saves her. Shia LaBeouf, famously in this, along with Charlotte Gainsbourg, Stellan Skarsgård, Stacey Martin. Here's some clips from the trailer of Nymphomaniac.
If I asked you to take my virginity, would that be a problem?
No, I don't see a problem.
You are to ask him if he wants to have sex with me.
Yeah,
My name is Jo.
Hi, Jo. Hi, Jo.
And I'm a nymphomaniac.
Sex addict.
We say sex addict.
I know that. What?
Would it be all right if I show the children the whoring bed?
I've never met a bad human being.
Well, you have now.
A lot of people talking and a lot of people banging.
He does the weirdest stuff.
He does the weirdest stuff. You're absolutely right, Lisa. Maladies also opens up this weekend in limited release. James Franco, Catherine Keener star in this film, but a talented and successful young actor who retires at a very early age, due to a perceived mental illness. Now he's living in a small town with his deranged sister and his best friend, and they all just get nutty together in Maladies. Right. Good times. Good times are had by all in Maladies.
Sorry, I'm his aunt, and he isn't feeling well.
His aunt?
Yes, kind sir, I'm his aunt. Come on, I've got to get him home.
Sometimes when you dress up like a man, I get confused.
It looks like a costume to me.
Your mental illnesses are okay, but mine are not.
Catherine.
I'm not even mentally ill. A person who wants to dress up like a guy once in a while, that's all.
I don't know.
Sounds like a scene from my life, huh?
I don't.
What's going on?
I'm telling you, it's a weird weekend. It's a weird weekend. Then there's Blood Ties.
Blood Ties.
Blood Ties. This looks a little more straightforward. About two brothers on either side of the law. One's a cop, one's a bad guy. And they face off over organized crime in Brooklyn during the 1970s. A good old-fashioned cop thriller set in the 70s. Oh, it gets my Serpico blood pumping. Stars Mila Kunis, Zoe Saldana, Marion Cotillard. Also in this film, here are some clips from the trailer of Blood Ties.
Freeze! My brother.
George!
Is there anything you're not telling us?
Frank!
This is just the beginning.
We gotta bring your brother in for questioning.
Are you kidding me?
I know you inside and out. You make promises and then you break them.
You gotta always be honest and you gotta tell me the truth.
He's your brother.
Well, that ain't everything.
Frank, don't throw your life away for him. You just do what you think is right.
Yeah! Man, freeze. It's the fuzz.
Is Cotillard, is that how you say her name?
Marion Cotillard.
She's the one with the bonkers eyes?
Stop it.
Bonkers.
I will not.
Bonkers.
Will not stand idly by while you besmirch the beauty that is Marion Cotillard.
Bonkers.
This movie we talked about yesterday, we had it star in Dave Koechner, stars in Cheap Thrills. Pat Healy, Ethan Embry, Sarah Paxton also star. A pair of old friends hanging out at a dive bar. Run into a wealthy couple who start this game of one-upmanship. They throw money at these losers to make them do wild dares, and it all seems like good fun in the beginning, and then it goes just horribly off the rails. Looks terrifying, funny, weird, disturbing, you name it. It's all in Cheap Thrills. Here's Dave Koechner, who plays the millionaire in question, who wants one of the friends that they encounter in this movie to relieve himself inside his neighbor's house, break into the neighbor's house, and then just leave a little gift for him behind.
Okay.
For if he does that, he'll get some money. This is like a really bad game show. Really cheap, cheap thrills. Here's a scene.
You see that Yeah, that's what I said, that
Wait, you want us to...
No, eat it? No, no, no. I want you to see that because it's part of the story. You see that house over there? Those assholes always let their dog take on my lawn. The other day I came out here to talk to the gardener, I stepped in a pile of wearing a brand new pair of suede Oxfords. I was so pissed they were ruined.
So
I want revenge on the neighbors. $800 to whoever can inside their house. Photographic evidence required.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
You can just see both guys in there trying hard.
Come on! This movie really should have starred Kevin and Mike Catherwood. They should have been the two guys they meet in the bar. They get paid. They get dared to do stuff for money.
That's Kevin's life, basically. They paid people $20 to do stuff.
Now the bigger films of the weekend. Divergent stars Shailene Woodley and her sunny vagina star in this film, along with Kate Winslet. It's based on a popular book series. It's about a world in a world in a world divided by factions based on virtues. The young lady figures out that she's divergent and she won't fit in any of the social groups that they put people in now. So she's different, man. And so there's a plot to destroy her because she's different. And so she's got to find out why her difference is so dangerous to the man. And meanwhile, she falls in love and her fearlessness helps bring out the boldness of another young man who's feeling the sexual urges of a divergent. Shut up!
You just became Ron Burgundy.
It's all just, oh. Oh, it looks good. I can't wait to see it. Shut up, Dave!
I like the trailer.
Looks like it's good. A wannabe Hunger Games mashed with Twilight and just a bunch of other stuff about teenagers with powers hiding from people. Here's Kate Winslet explaining, thank God someone's here to explain it, the faction system, why everybody's busted up into these different groups.
How are we safer? The brilliance of the faction system is that conformity to the faction removes the threat of anyone exercising their independent will. Divergence threatens that system. Don't get me wrong. There's a certain beauty in your resistance, your defiance of categorization. But it's a beauty we can't afford.
You enjoy this, Kevin. You go. You deserve this movie. You go and you sit there. I want you to sit there the whole damn thing.
I've earned it.
You've earned it. You sit there from opening credits to final credits. And lastly, Muppets Most Wanted. The Muppets are back.
Yay.
Kermit the Frog stars along with the rest of the gang on a world tour. They find themselves wrapped up in a European jewel heist after there's a frog who's a international jewel thief who looks exactly like Kermit.
What are the chances of that?
And so in order to escape the authorities, he takes on Kermit's persona and tries to blend in with the Muppets. Meanwhile, Kermit is mistaken for the jewel thief frog and he's thrown in jail.
What?
It's a case of mistaken identity is what it is. It's a big mix-up. I hope they get things straightened out. Here's Ricky Gervais, who stars as the tour manager, and in this scene, he is meeting the Muppets for the first time.
International tour manager.
Dominic Bad Guy?
It's pronounced Bad G. It's French. It means good man. You're hot. You're having a moment. But what is inevitable about a moment? It ends.
I don't want this moment to end!
Okay, I am inundated with offers of management at the moment. One Direction, U2, Cirque du Soleil. Just some of the acts I can list.
Wow, that's a good list!
And now I want to tour manage you guys.
I don't know. I'm torn, but I'm more leaning on the side of yes than no.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ricky Gervais, Tina Fey.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a really good cast. And they're the freaking Muppets. They're lovable and funny. And
no.
Shut up, Dave.
No.
Go see a little girl movie. With, oh, I'm divergent. Oh, hug me. Kiss me. I'm afraid. I don't fit in. F you, you 12-year-old girl.
He's going to be sitting in the audience sobbing.
Yeah, really. Oh, she's divergent. Can't even say it, but he's going to go see it. Those are the movies for the weekend. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know
is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Congratulations to Darlene Vamora from Whittier. Just got tickets to see Kings of Leon in the Red Bull Sound Space.
Oh, that's very cool.
If you don't know, the Red Bull Sound Space is here at K-Rock in the building, and it's a tiny little place. Yeah. I don't know. The people in the back are 30 feet from the band.
Yeah.
And they're going to play on Monday, so that's going to be pretty cool. Congratulations, Darlene. Thank you for listening. I was very confident that I was going to win the $1
billion. $1 billion, people.
In the March Madness bracket. $1 billion was the prize.
That'd be sweet.
So I filled it out, and then game one happened.
Oh, my God. Really?
Game one, the first game, knocked out 81% of the people who entered.
Really?
81%. Because Dayton, it's Dayton against, what was it, Ohio State?
Ohio State, the Big Ten.
Dayton's like 12th ranked and whatever they're in. And
Yeah,
they were positioned 11th. They're 11th ranked.
And then this, before I even got home, this happened.
Dayton and Ohio State, the battle for Ohio, and it came down to the final possession. Under 10 seconds to go, Dayton down one. V. Samford gets it to go with 3.8 left. Aaron Kraft, the senior, so many tournament wins, going to have a final chance, but it's no good, and the Flyers are moving on to the round of 32.
The Flyers. Come on. And what's that guy's name, Aaron Kraft? Is that what he said?
Kraft, I believe.
Oh, Kraft.
Yeah.
So I was out. Before I got home, I was out.
So that game started at 9 a.m. So before people were even having lunch, they were out of the $1 billion.
81% out. And then they're saying by the end of, I think it's either last night or tonight, less than 1% of the people who signed up will still be in the pool.
That is such an easy offer to make. I'll pay someone $1 billion.
Right.
Anybody could say
that. But
then
you think, well, someone could get lucky, and there still might be, but less than 1% will still be in it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I'm sure I'm ahead in the party bus pool, though. That's the pool that we started, because the rest of my picks are solid.
Oh.
It was just the Dayton.
That was it? That was all
it was just the Dayton Ohio State game that I missed.
Well, that was your only loss until Harvard happened.
Harvard won?
Yeah, they beat Cincinnati.
Harvard?
Harvard, yes.
Beat Cincinnati.
Uh-huh. You know who's happy about that? Tom Morello.
Yeah. Was he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's tweeting all about Harvard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I missed two.
Yeah, so that was good. And then, you know, you went for the upsets.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you tried for New Mexico State over San Diego State. And that didn't happen either.
Come on.
Nah.
All right, so that's three.
Yeah, and then you picked Oklahoma because they were going to beat North Dakota State. Because who's North Dakota State?
Right.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Nope.
North Dakota State won.
Won.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, but at least you got the Connecticut St. Joseph's game right.
Because Connecticut.
Yeah, they won.
Okay, good.
But too bad you picked St. Joseph's.
I did?
Yeah.
That was another upset I was hoping for.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's not like you don't try, because you also said, you know what, Arizona State, Pac-12 school, they're going to beat, you know, Texas, who's a good team.
Which is an upset,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So I picked that one right.
Yeah. No.
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 They didn't.
So
how many did you get right?
So out of
a little less from you.
So out of, say, if there was 16 games last night, Kevin got 10 right.
Yeah. Is this really? Right? I'm in last place in the party bus pool?
That would make you last place.
Aren't I supposed to be in a driver's position for the
you
party bus?
You should know this, Kevin. You're Mr. Sports Guy.
Kevin.
I'm in last place.
Chip's ahead of you.
Everyone's ahead of me.
Striker.
Mr.
Dave,
Weatherby. I don't even recognize people
Christine.
That are ahead of me.
Oh, my God.
Chip's ahead of you. What does that say? Come on. Do you know anything about it, Chip?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Felt tip. Is that what you did?
This is not making me happy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Yeah.
Why are you so excited?
That's Friday,
all?
Man.
Oh, it's Friday. All right.
Friday.
Matt Walsh will be joining us in the studio.
How funny is that guy?
He is awesome. He's got a new movie coming out that he wants to get some help with. We'll talk to him.
You may know him from Veep, where he's brilliantly funny on that show. And most recently, I thought he was very funny on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was the guy trimming his mustache.
Oh, right. Because he's got the world's best mustache.
At Rose's desk and leaving it in the keyboard, the computer, and there was payback to be had. It was a good time.
Omar Epps is also coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first...
We're star-studded today.
And Kevin Smith. But first, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Time indeed. Winona Ryder claims she doesn't know anything about pop culture. She was doing an interview with Us Weekly the magazine. She said she wasn't aware of what 50 Shades of Grey was about.
Does she not talk to anybody ever about anything?
How do you avoid that?
Yeah, I don't know.
My mother knows what that's about.
Yeah, bet she does.
Bet she does.
That's how out of the loop I am, she said in the interview. There was a tie on the cover, so I thought it was about Wall Street.
Right. Well, okay.
How do you live that insulated?
I don't know how.
You don't know the basics.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog indeed, Lisa. It would seem like you'd have to be... aggressively ignorant to avoid.
Even
that
I know
stuff.
What that is.
Right, you pick it up. It's just in the atmosphere. Can't help it. Danica McKellar, you know her from Wonder Years, of course.
Math teacher.
Yeah, she's a math. She's a mathaholic.
Mathaholic.
Mm-hmm. Candace Cameron Bure. They are currently dancing on Dancing with the Stars. By the way, I heard nobody's watching. Ratings are not good.
Yeah,
but this isn't the first time they faced off.
What do you mean?
Apparently, back in the day when they were both child actors on popular TV shows, Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains dumped Candace for Danica McKellar of The Wonder Years.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's just teenage actor angst right there. It's just it's junior high school on right there on television.
It's on all over again.
Yeah. That's about 25 years ago when that all happened. Jeremy said he doesn't remember being such a jerk, but he apologized to her nonetheless. So these girls have a history, man. They've fought over men before. Dancing against each other should be nothing.
What if they get in a fight? Then I'd watch.
Let's give them like a bike chain and a crowbar and just let them go at it. Come on, you need the ratings, don't you? DWTS. Joe Francis is back in the news. Isn't he in jail?
I thought he was. He's in and out all the time.
He is. He did an interview with Us Weekly magazine saying he's done with his wild nights. He's ready to start a family with his girlfriend, Abby Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that they'd be fun parents.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, I just hope he has a daughter. That's all I care about.
Oh, no kidding.
His daughter who goes to spring break and some douchebag comes up and makes her take her top off when she's drunk and films it and puts it in a video. Joe Francis as a father. Can you imagine?
Nope.
And what's this girl thing of doing, marrying and settling down with this guy?
I can straighten him out. He'll walk the straight and narrow.
Imagine his girlfriend, Abby Wilson, bringing him home for dinner. Mom, Dad, this is Joe. He talks naive girls who are drunk into taking their tops off and makes videos out of them. Let's sit down. Pass the stew. Hey, there's an update to the Shailene Woodley story.
Oh.
Shailene, of course, the star of this weekend's big movie, Divergent.
Update on the clay eating?
Well, we're talking about her beauty advice, and we did mention all week how she recommends eating clay to get rid of all those negative isotopes. I don't even know if that's a thing, by the way.
Isotopes.
Brush your teeth with, sesame oil or coconut oil. Sesame oil, too, Lisa. Coconut. Like, you're the dental oil specialist. Sesame is also an option. It's also a very popular oil used for dental hygiene.
Dr. Drew was silly enough to say, ask your dentist.
What do they know?
Right.
They don't have a big squirt gun full of oil in the dental chair, right? They always use water. They don't know anything about anything. Of course, sunshine on your vagina is important.
Right.
Go out in the sun for about an hour and spread your legs. Give your lady parts some sunshine, vitamin D. You gotta get some vitamin D in there.
Yeah.
But this is an update. She also said the way to find peace is to be pregnant with the world.
What?
You heard me.
To be pregnant with the world.
Let me read you the quote. Get in a bath and look at your body and be like, wow, thank you so much for hosting my mind and my heart. As like women you know. And
what?
also be pregnant with the world. I think that's really beautiful beauty advice. Like, close your eyes and think about all the other women out there who aren't in positions to be on a red carpet in Hollywood tonight enjoying this beautiful weather and all these beautiful smiles. And put those women in your womb and be pregnant with them and send them love.
She's full on crazy.
She is bat-ass bonkers.
What's wrong with you? How does that sound for a change?
I love her.
So, ladies, what we want you to do today is to think about all the women who aren't doing what you're doing, and then put those women in your womb.
Okay.
While, all right. While taking a bath, or you can do that at other times?
I think at any time. Maybe you're in your wardrobe putting on your pantyhose or whatever the kids do today.
Kids.
But just make sure you have women in your womb and be pregnant with them and send them love.
Okay.
I'm not sure Shailene knows how pregnancy works. I'm pregnant. A woman got inside my womb.
Does she tweet? Because if so, I need to follow her.
No doubt. Today's celebrity birthdays, Derek Whibley. You know him from Sum 41. He's the singer-guitarist for that band. He's 34. Comedian Rhys Darby is 40 years old. Rosie O'Donnell, actress, comedian, had a big-time talk show one time. Not so much anymore. She's 52. Matthew Broderick is 52 as well. Gary Oldman, come on. How good is that guy? 56 years old. And now we're talking the money man, Eddie Money, 65 years old today. It is the...
I've got two tickets for paradise.
That's right.
You pack your bags for me tonight. I've got two tickets for paradise. I've got
Ralph is, Ralph has a unnatural love of him.
Oh, like, it's the best.
It's not just like he's great even
he
in his day. He's the best.
Well, first of all days are his day. He is now and forever. He is the money man. And we're not just going to stop with two tickets paradise.
Yes, we are.
No, we got Shaken we could play.
Nope.
We got Take Me Home Tonight. Just hit after hit after hit.
I don't see that
pouring
happening.
Out of the money man.
Mm.
Of course, we shared a stage once. We don't have time for that story, but Eddie and I shared a stage.
We need to have that story.
You
later.
Don't.
Yep.
You don't. We're
if
out.
You want
to look
song.
At the time.
If you want a song.
Look at the time. We're out of time.
You're going to have to earn it with your story next time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Omar Epps in the studio. Kevin Smith on the way. And we read you our first ever tweets, as yesterday was the 8th birthday of Twitter. And they allowed
imagine.
You to go back and see what you tweeted.
Your very first
8
year.
8 years ago?
Yeah, 8 years ago. Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I don't have them yet, but we're going to have them. That's not for you, Matt. Matt Walsh is in the studio to talk about his movie.
I'd never heard an 8-year-old tweet. I wanted to hear if the language was outdated or something.
He's the director of A Better You, which is the name of a movie which you've already filmed?
Yes, it is. It's a movie, an improv movie based on a hypnotist who can fix everyone but himself.
Okay.
And we're doing a little Indiegogo campaign, a shameless money grab, and to finish one scene and then do all the post work. So that's what I'm promoting.
What? how does that work? Because I thought when you had a movie idea, maybe you have the idea, maybe you even write the script, but then you have to go find funding.
Yeah.
How did you get through the shooting?
Bass ackwards. We did it with very little money and then just decided we were going to film it and then worry about finishing it later. So it kind of worked out.
How's that plan working for you right now?
Tremendous. it's a financial boon to make an indie movie. It's just so many people want to buy them.
Yeah.
But it fortunately, because I went to Baltimore for 5 months to film Veep, so I wouldn't have been able to finish it anyway. So we filmed it last summer and then edited most of it. And now that I'm back, we're going to finish.
Finish. That, you need how much money?
We're looking for $52,000.
How do you figure that? I always wonder how you come up with the number that you need.
It covers color correction, ADR, Foley, where you make footsteps and things like all that fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
We have one additional scene because there's a little backstory we need to explain.
Okay.
I've showed it to some friends and family. My sister, for example,
she's
a big audience member of the test screenings. It's an indie movie. That's who your test audience is.
Is there a cocaine budget or
cocaine? We blew
strippers?
That the first day.
Really?
We
it's
had like
gone?
$35,000 for coke, and then it just went.
Wow.
And
it's funny
in
how
retrospect,
that happens.
I wouldn't have a coke budget in my next project. I would have like Kool-Aid or something.
You just can never have enough for the coke budget.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
People are like, where's coke on day two? I'm like, we spent the coke money, guys. Everybody, and then they all had addictions, and people their marriages broke up.
Wow. That's a rough movie to be on.
It
and
is.
They didn't get paid.
And they didn't get paid.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Matt is the co-founder of Upright Citizens Brigade, so you know a thing or two about this type of movie. Is it hard to find people that can, ad lib well?
Yeah, well.
Think on their feet?
Yeah, it is. But fortunately, all the
people. I'm not one of them. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I would imagine you do that for a living. You come in with no plan.
You have no clue how hard it is for me to even get my sentences out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you will by the end of this.
Put me
break.
In a position of having to think on my feet and come back with something witty. It's not going to happen.
Well, you cast people who are appropriate for the part, so you would be like a great DJ or radio voice. So
dumb guy that can't.
Yeah, but if
man.
I had a part in a movie, I would cast you to effect, and you could just be yourself. So you cast to effect, and then I know a bunch of like successful, funny people like Horatio Sanz is in it, Rob Hubel, Andy Daly, and you cast them to type, and then you create story points, much like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where you have two or three paragraphs beneath each scene heading, and you rehearse it beforehand, and then you sort of behave, and you shoot those wide so you can make your mistakes. And then once you feel like, oh, we got a rhythm, you kind of have it tight, then you go in for coverage. And if you discover something, you chase that for as much time as you have, and then you pack it up and you move to the next location.
But every single scene is different because your actors are just basically following an outline, not – there's no script.
There is no script, no. You have you know what's funny about each scene, so you make sure that that dynamic is executed. And you kind of have jokes in your pocket because you know if he's – coming to a bar, you can think of funny drinks to order, so you might write some jokes on the morning that you go into that scene.
Does it take longer to shoot that way rather than just off a script?
It does.
I imagine.
It does, because in the edit, you're sort of editing like a documentary, because you get a lot of footage that you didn't think you were going to get, and you're also reining in people's exploration. You want to focus people so they're not riffing on things that would never end up in the movie.
Right.
Because funny people can go anywhere, so you got to rein them in and say, try to do jokes around this point.
This is we're heading this direction.
Yes.
If you could go with us,
that would be great. And the cocaine budget might come back. Guys, cocaine. And I hold up powdered sugar like they're monkeys. I'm like, this is actually cocaine. I lied.
If we put this movie out, it's successful. This is what we call back end.
This is back end. This is premiere party Bolivian marching powder.
All right, how can people donate? They go where?
They go to a site
called Indiegogo,
and then just search A Better You.
A Better You.
Yeah.
All right. Matt Walsh
or Mr. Matt Walsh on Twitter. I'm sure I'm talking about it on Twitter, too.
You don't know?
I am.
Okay,
I'm shamelessly plugging it on Twitter, too. Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Matt Walsh is here. We'll take a quick break and come back on camera. Matt Walsh is in the studio with us. He, of course, is the co-founder of Upright Citizens Brigade. Are you still there?
I just found my first 8-year-old tweet. It says, this law show is so clear, I really understand it. I can't believe that was my first tweet.
You watch a lot of TV?
I do, but I binge watch. Like, I just finished season 2 of House of Cards, and I watched that in like 3 days.
Oh, so good.
So it's a lot of binge watching.
Some of them are kind of bummer. It's a bummer to watch them, to binge watch. You know, some of them are downer shows. You got to take a little break.
Yeah, you need
a
week.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's a real punishing schedule.
You don't want to binge watch Walking Dead.
Yeah, you
either.
Don't really.
That's a rough one.
Dexter was one that you really didn't want to.
Dexter. Yeah, Mad Men. That's not as down.
No.
That's a binge watching one. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been. And I watched a show called Broadchurch, if you haven't
love
seen
it.
That.
Yes, I
love
watched it too.
Just finishing. I got two left.
So good.
Love yeah. That. And there's some Danish one. Borg?
Yeah, you lost me there.
I don't know about that.
Sorry.
I'm now out.
All right.
I'm now officially out.
Change subject
Borg.
Quickly.
Borgen.
It has a Danish name, Borgen.
Okay.
Something like that.
Matt Walsh is here. Let's talk Veep for a minute.
Sure.
Season 3 comes back. When? April
6th?
April 6th. Have you already shot the whole thing?
We have shot the entire season, and I think most of them are completed, yeah.
That show is so funny.
Yeah, I love
Thank
it.
You.
And honestly, I want to know how close to reality it is, because it's out there. It's ridiculous. But you know that there's some of that going on that they're hiding. It's just the incompetence.
A lot of the DC folk we meet are, like, dead on.
They totally, really?
I swear to God. They're, like, absolutely true. And they identify with, like, I know Mike McClintock, definitely. I know a Dan, like the shark who's always trying to stab people. I know a Jonah. Jonah's another one. People like that douchebag that's always thinking he's got some swagger, but really is just delivering telegrams.
What about Julia Louis-Dreyfus? What about Veep? I mean,
I think
this current vice president, maybe.
Well, I think what's true about her position is that it's the worst position in the world. It's just
very ceremonial.
Yeah. And like, you want to push a bill through, and then the president says, go to this pie-eating contest and get a photo, would you?
Can it really be that meaningless?
I think day-to-day. I mean, the truth about Biden, I think he does have a real relationship with Obama, and he is like a consigliere, and he does use Biden to, like, bring votes. So I think Biden's a little more active, but I think traditionally those guys don't have a lot to do, especially if it's like there's some hostility
the
there
yep.
or it's just like some presidents just keep everything close to the vest and they don't want anybody else knowing.
Isn't it 100% that the vice president will run, though, the next when the president's done? I mean, isn't that pretty much a guarantee most years?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
But it is weird, yeah.
The show Veep does go behind the scenes. She is the vice president of the United States, and she's a nincompoop.
Just
she's
an idiot.
I don't know that I've used the word nincompoop ever in my entire life.
She's a nincompoop.
Where do you film that show?
We film in Baltimore, and then we shoot a few scenes in D.C. proper. But everything is either in a studio just outside of Baltimore or, you know, in the various mid-Atlantic environs.
Baltimore. Yeah, I had no idea that's where you did it.
I only know Baltimore from The Wire.
It's not just The Wire.
That is an ugly.
Any John Waters movie. Yeah, there is some ugliness. But
ugly city.
There's a lot of good stuff there. We stay in the Inner Harbor, and there's a lot of museums and stuff. So it's easy to kick Baltimore, but it's pretty good.
Like, how many episodes did you shoot?
We shot 10 this season, so we shoot about 10 a year.
Slacker. I know. There's never enough. Feet.
These good shows now, they come along.
Yeah, that's why they're good, though, you know.
They air like 10 times, and then they take 20. Like 4 years off.
Well, that's because the Brits created it, and they do like 6 episodes and then take 4 years off and then make a second season.
And then that's
and then
it.
They're done.
And then they're done. Yeah. And then they jump and turn it into something else.
There's no third season of anything that comes out of Britain.
That's true. Like The Office only did,
That's crazy.
But yeah, Armando Iannucci created. He did Alan Partridge, if you ever watched that show.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite comedies.
Now, is it because it takes a long time to make good shows, or does it just give people a break?
I think it has more to do with HBO, truthfully. I think partially because they are all Brits and they kind of go home and we travel from the West Coast and meet on the East Coast. But I think HBO's formula is like you either get 10 or like Game of Thrones, I think, does 13. But like I think Girls does 10 and et cetera. So I think that's the formula for like cable or premium cable. Mad Men probably does 13.
More than one season a year or just one?
Just
a year?
One season a year. I mean, yeah, we bled into February. We filmed through February a little bit and then we'll go back in September.
Wow. It almost feels like you have to start from scratch again if you take that much time off.
Yeah.
Like you have to get people. You have to resell it.
Yeah,
it seems like.
I don't think it's that tough.
I mean, yeah, well, that's true. It's not not much of a setup, but.
No, we were gone for 5 months. We go back and forth. How many radio shows could you make in 5 months? About 150?
Well, yeah,
we made 10 episodes.
You have to differentiate between good ones and just radio shows.
Quality and quantity. Yeah. Very, very different.
Very different. You can't have both.
Matt is in the studio again. He has shot. But not edited.
No, edited.
Edited, but not
finished. We'll call it finish, and cocaine money we're looking for.
Why not round to just 50 as opposed to 52?
Because it felt more honest. Like, here's the real number.
All right, why
not? We really did the math.
Yeah,
and
this is what we're shooting for.
Why not 52,000 instead of 52,650?
Because 650 is my favorite number. It's true. It's my favorite number.
What?
That's my old apartment in Hell's Kitchen on 9th Avenue.
Are you not a number freak?
Not a number freak, okay, but that number appears a lot in my life. Like, if you go into McDonald's and you say, I'll take a Big Mac and a Coke, 650.
You're a number freak.
Or if you go to it's the only number that I'm freak about. But that number occurs more than you think. Just start looking for it in your life. I guarantee you.
All right, I'll start.
You'll
looking.
Hit a 650.
What kind of guarantee is that? Are you paying off on that guarantee in any way?
What can I give you?
I don't know, but if I don't see you, I'll tell you what. If the next time I get I see 650 in my normal life, I'll go to Indiegogo and give you some money.
All right, and if you do see 650, I'll give you a shirt or something.
All right, there you go.
A shirt or something. I'll give you something nice.
I like it. So So $52,000 helps you finish it. You have to reshoot a couple things, and then it's also distribution or what?
No, we have no distribution.
Zero.
We have no chance. No, we do.
Are we ever going to see this movie?
You will. You will. It'll get out there, certainly on like a Netflix or an iTunes, and hopefully a theatrical.
It sort of feels half-hearted, I got to be honest. I'm just saying from my vantage point.
All right. No, I believe in it. I believe in improv comedies, and we've peppered it full of the funniest people you know. Yeah. People like Horatio Sands, I said that. Natasha Leggero's in it. Nick Kroll's in it. So Mo Gaffney, an old-timer, but really solid, funny lady. So I believe in like taking this little movement that I'm a part of and putting a movie out every year. And I did one about a year and a half ago called High Road, same process. And I've always loved like the Christopher Guest movies, your Spinal Taps. And I've done nothing but improv my whole life. So it is important to me to like keep making these things. But it is zero money. It is totally like we are on the fringes.
Right.
But you will find it. And it will be funny. Did I do better? Did I sell it
that
better?
That's much better.
You're helping me. This is like a sale. It's like an Amway seminar. Get up on your feet. Say it again to the room.
You go to Indiegogo/
A Better You.
A Better You.
Or Mr. Matt Walsh at Twitter.
Okay. And you can find out more information. And yeah, there's also a video there on Indiegogo.
Bunch
can...
of videos. Every day we're dropping a free
cool
life hack. A way to make your life better.
There
just
you
for
go
visiting the
I
site.
Like it.
Check that out.
Okay.
So it pays off to even check it out.
Yeah.
It
makes you smarter.
Matt, you fill out a March Madness?
I did fill out a bracket.
You already out?
You
have to be.
I'm in the low. There's like 85 people in my pool, and right now I'm in like the 71 range. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But I have Florida. Florida's still winning or still possibly winning,
I'm
right?
in last place in mine.
Are
so
you really?
Yeah, I'm holding down last place. Somebody has to be last. It might as well be me.
Did you pick any right upsets? No. Of course not.
Who could pick Dayton? Who could pick
Harvard?
Harvard winning at basketball. What's going on with that?
I know. That
What's
was a real shocker.
South Dakota State or somebody?
Yeah.
What? Stop it. How am I supposed to win $1 billion if that's going to happen?
Oh, I didn't fill that one out. You filled that one
out. I did both. Oh. I used the same one for both. Maybe that was a mistake. All right. Matt Walsh, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mr. Matt Thank Walsh you. Is how you follow him on Twitter. And Indiegogo campaign/movie, A Better You, to help him fund it. Thank you, Matt.
Thank
we appreciate
you, guys.
Your time.
Good morning. How are you?
My God.
That might be the best thing that's ever happened. Sorry. Sorry.
All right.
Let's try that again.
Kick
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be... I'll still be here in Miami. I don't know that I'll be able to speak any better than now.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And then the one before it.
And the one
there
before
was that,
it.
Yeah.
That was maybe the best one ever. And I was going to say, after I came out of the moment with that, is the only reason I couldn't be Pope.
Of course.
Because people pay attention to your every word. And if you make a mistake in front of millions of people, it turns out it gets put out on the internet.
It is reported around the world.
So the Pope is giving his, his Sunday blessing.
Uh-huh.
And Italian is not his first language. So he doesn't really understand the difference between casin or casso and caso.
Mm-hmm.
Casso and caso.
Well, they're very close.
Yes, they're very close.
Yeah.
One of them is the F word.
Oh.
The Pope used it.
So did you.
And then... Yeah, but I'm not the Pope.
Well,
and then
true.
He took it back and said the right version of it, and it hit YouTube immediately,
oh,
and
God.
There were millions of views on that because the Pope doesn't normally use the F word.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So we've got the Pope on the line, and we thought we'd go to him now. Hello, Pope Francis.
Good morning, how are you? What's so funny?
Your Holiness, the F word is bad here as well.
Oh, did I say something wrong?
Yes, in the United States. English.
I'm sorry, English is not my first language.
Right. We know.
I must have mistakenly said a different word. I'm sorry.
That must be embarrassing when you do that because everybody's paying such close attention to you.
Yes, I try to speak the language properly, and then the next thing people are saying I mispronounce and one thing means something else. So I don't know, it's hard, you know, when you have so many who are watching you so carefully.
What did you just...
You know, the
You can't say either of those words.
Well, it means the people who gather to listen to a speech.
That's a
right?
crowd.
Oh, a crowd.
Yes.
Oh.
A crowd. Very
right,
different.
Write that down. That's not got it.
Oh, God. Stop saying that word.
I'm trying to learn how to say the right thing.
That was a really bad word.
Okay, it's a bad word. I'm not saying that no more.
Okay.
All right.
I got it. Make a note.
Okay. So do you have somebody, like, going over your speeches now to make sure that you're...
Yes, because, you know, Italian is also not my first language.
Right.
So now I have this who works for me. He has to go over everything I say to make sure it's proper what I'm putting into words into the speech.
I don't think the word is allowed.
You can't say that either,
I don't
Kevin.
Think that's allowed. That's another bad word here.
That's a bad word, too?
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't mean the guy who goes over, like, proofreader?
No, it doesn't mean proofreader at all.
Oh, they're so similar, those two words. Proofreader.
No.
Nope. Not even
I
close.
Mixed up.
Yeah.
Let me make a note.
Make
no
another
more
note.
Seriously, please stop saying that word.
I'm sorry. Again, it's not my first language, so, you know, my balls are out there for you.
I don't know what that means, but you could say it.
I can say that?
Yeah,
you
that's
can,
fine.
But I'm not say, sure
I'm,
you...
I'm out there in front of everyone, balls out all the time.
Right.
And so next thing you know, I'm, you know...
That's acceptable, but probably not advisable for the Pope.
It's embarrassing for me, because I stand there with on my face.
No.
Know?
Oh, my
no,
God.
No. That's
you know, I'm embarrassed. There's a on my face, right?
No, I don't even know. What?
No.
What an American saying when someone's embarrassed. Oh, boy, do I on
your
my face.
You have egg on your face.
No.
No egg.
Oh, okay. Egg.
Write down egg.
Egg is not
stop saying that.
I'm trying to learn. How can I learn if I don't keep notes from what I should say and not say?
Well, I guess this is helpful then. But
it is helpful because next thing you know, I make a big hole of myself.
I don't think you meant that. I think you meant hole.
Oh. Hole, not hole.
Right.
Okay. This has been very helpful.
Okay.
So glad.
God bless you both.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. Ralph Garman is here now with a look at the showbiz beat.
The Paley Center just called. They want to know if they can have that last segment for the archives because they want to show an example of what radio at its finest.
What not to do?
Radio genius, yeah. They're calling that. And so they'd like to put that in the vault.
Things went wrong.
Things didn't go wrong.
Things went wrong.
No, things didn't go
Were
wrong.
Were you in here?
You
things went
did
wrong.
Horrible work.
I did.
It's not like, oh, things went wrong. Oh, it was an accidental fire or something. You did all
That's
of that.
It. There was an accidental fire. Thank you. No, it was all me. I'll take the responsibility for that one.
Speaking of the Paley Center for Media, PaleyCenter.org is their website. It is Paley Fest. We're right in the heat of Paley Fest 2014. One of my favorite events of the year, where the Paley Center gathers the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows and gives you an evening with them at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. It's going on until the 28th of the month. Tickets are still available for some of the events. You can go to PaleyCenter.org to find out the lineup and to see what's available. I know this is going to be a popular one. We just had Matt Walsh in here just moments ago. They are doing an evening with Veep.
Ah.
Such a good show.
On yeah. March the 27th. It is one of the funniest shows. It makes me laugh out loud each and every week. If you'd like to spend an evening with the folks from Veep on the 27th of March, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller at, let's see, number, what's Paley Fest 2014. So let's say caller number 14. Caller number 14 will win a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creative team behind Veep. Beatles in the news, Kevin. I know you love that.
Oh, I do. More Beatle news.
There was a big auction this week for some Beatles collectibles, mostly from the movie Help. This was stuff that was owned by Richard Lester, the director of that movie and also their first film, Hard Day's Night. The piano that was used on the set during the filming was played by all four Beatles, sold for $95,000. A jacket Harrison wore in the film sold for $89,000. But a cape that Ringo Starr wore on the cover of the album Help sold for over $100,000.
Really?
For a cape? I didn't know he wore a cape. It's like a superhero.
Cape from Ringo?
Yeah, Ringo's cape. There was supposed to be a Paul McCartney cape, a suit, and some handwritten lyrics, but Paul sued and made them take the items down so they couldn't sell his stuff off. I'm still alive, he said. I can put up a fight. Ringo was like, oh, I don't care. Take my cape.
He doesn't even know he wore
it. I don't know. I have a cape. I'm Superman. This has nothing to do with show business, but I can't get this story out of my mind. Did you hear about this dude who was on the road driving his bike and a truck was coming towards him?
No, I didn't.
And the truck driver saw the cyclist in the center of the road too late and tried to swerve to attempt to miss him. But he did knock the man off his bike anyway, going at pretty high speed. But the swerving action of the truck caused a mattress that the guy was carrying in the back of the truck to fly off the back of the truck, land on the street, and the cyclist landed on the mattress, breaking his fall and saving his life.
Oh,
what?
My God.
What are the odds of that ever happening?
Guy on a bicycle, going down the street. Suddenly a truck driver doesn't see him, sees him too late, swerves to avoid hitting them. The guy gets knocked off his bicycle, gets thrown in the air. A mattress slides off the back of the swerving truck, lands on the street, and the guy lands on top of the mattress.
They wouldn't even try that with stunt people.
No way.
That's crazy.
You couldn't even CGI that.
Wow.
That happened. So to all those people we scream at every day when Lisa talks about traffic jams because someone's mattress came off their truck in the freeway.
Finally helped somebody.
Good on you. Now I see what you were doing. Now I see
to save lives.
The madness behind your method this whole time. Or this method behind your madness. One or the other. I think Steve-O is getting a raw deal here. I mentioned yesterday he was in trouble with the local officials in San Antonio, Texas, for doing a backflip off a bridge there into the river below. Local officials now have him under investigation for criminal charges. The crime they are going to charge him with, should the investigation prove positive, is deadly conduct. A crime that occurs when someone engages in a reckless activity that could place himself or someone else in danger of great bodily injury is the definition. It's punishable by a year in jail.
It doesn't seem like... Is that a law everywhere? Because...
I think it's just San Antonio, Texas.
Huh.
I imagine that 1 year penalty is if what you're doing also endangers other people.
I guess.
I doubt he'll get any more than a probation.
Look, I can understand maybe they're not pleased with it.
Yeah.
But don't you just say... Don't do that again, or give
maybe
him a fine
slap him
or
with
something.
A fine.
Yeah, but you're going to actually send investigators into the field to gather evidence to see if you can bring charges against him?
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, dude. He wasn't in the book depository when Kennedy was driving by, for God's sakes. Come on, Texas, get your ass together. And this is kind of sad news. Paul Walker's mother has filed for guardianship of his 15-year-old daughter, Meadow. Paul's mom claims that Meadow's mom, Paul's... former, I don't know if they were married or not, or just had a relationship when they had the child, but saying that she has an alcohol problem and that would prevent her from being an effective parent. So she would like parental custody because she believes a continual relationship with Rebecca, Meadow's mom, would be detrimental to her. Also because Meadow is the sole recipient of Paul Walker's estate. She's got a $16 million inheritance that she has to negotiate.
Ah.
And Paul's mother doesn't think that Meadow's mom is in condition to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a court hearing will be held on April the 30th to see if Paul Walker's mom can step in and whether grandma will be able to take care of 15-year-old Meadow for the rest of her life, at least until she comes of age and gets her money and everything is taken care of. I can see that. I can see why someone would be concerned.
Yeah.
If indeed the mother does have an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why Paul Walker left everything to his daughter rather than his ex. And this sounds funny. Three guys from SNL, Fred Armisen, Bill Hader, and Seth Meyers, are behind a new series. It's a fake documentary series called American Documentary. The series will be composed of half-hour biographies of people, all of whom don't exist. Fake politicians, athletes, celebrities, they will do the stories of their lives. And that sounds funny.
That does sound funny.
Another TV news. A&E Network has canceled the Mark Wahlberg-produced reality series Breaking Boston after just one episode.
Wow.
I did not hear about
that. I didn't either. That was a thing?
It was a show about four blue-collar Boston women trying to move up in life, trying to get out of their low-income neighborhoods. The first episode only had 310,000 viewers, even by basic cable standards, pretty low. So,
but one episode canceled. Is a quick pull.
I hear you.
They must have hated it, you know, going in and just... saw some negative feedback and said, all right, it's gone.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Federline's 36 years old today. Sum 41 singer and guitarist Derek Whibley's 34. Reese Darby from Flight of the Conchords is 40 years old. Rosie O'Donnell's 52. Matthew Broderick, also 52. Gary Oldman's 56 years old. And singer Eddie Money. Come on!
That's Eddie Money.
That's not enough, Eddie Money.
That's what I have. I have it.
Keep going. I don't want to let you go till we see the light.
That's
come
all Omar
on.
Sent in.
That is BS.
I'll play. I can
get,
play it again.
Is Don on the phone? Is Don on the phone?
Don is not
get
on the phone.
Get Don on the phone. This is unacceptable. You don't just play 8 seconds of Eddie Money. I don't want to let you go. Oh, come on.
That's all I got, man.
You're doing something over there.
I'm not.
You're potting it down or something.
How dare you?
I'm
suggesting
I would. I am calling 911.
Okay.
I'm calling the authorities. Eddie Money's 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
think it's over. I think it's over.
Oh, love that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Omar Epps will be here next talking about Resurrection, which is a great new show on ABC.
Boy, that fascinating and disturbing and entertaining. What a great show.
There are very few shows that you really are so engrossed and you go, I can't imagine where they're going with this.
Nothing's more emotionally impactful.
Yep.
Than, first of all, the death of a loved one, and then to have them return, it's great stuff.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Dave told me yesterday that Twitter was celebrating their 8th birthday. And what were they doing for their birthday, Dave?
Cupcakes?
No.
Damn it.
They were allowing you to search anybody's first tweet, their very first tweet. Yeah.
The very first time you join Twitter and then you put something out into the world.
And mind you, no one knew how to use Twitter back then.
Okay. And some still don't.
And I have the proof.
It was sort of like a weird cult thing for a while when it first started. People would come in and talk about, oh yeah, I'm doing this Twitter thing, and I especially was like, that's dumb.
That took you a while.
140 characters. What can you possibly say of any worth in that amount of time? And now it's commonplace. Everybody's on Twitter.
So this is our first tweets and a feature we like to call
Tweet Us.
Thanks for that tweet us.
Thanks for that tweet us.
So what, Dave, you're going to read the tweets, then we have to guess who it was?
Guess who it was. Who did these tweets from our show?
This should be easy. This should be easy.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And all right, here's the first one. It comes from April of 2009.
April 2009?
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ha, ha, ha. Kirstie Alley is fat again. Is this thing on?
It's got to be Bean.
Bean. Yeah, Bean. Definitely.
It's got to be Bean.
It is Bean.
Yes. Because he says, is this thing on after something really boring or dull?
Yeah. Because no one reacts to it, and he acts as if it's a technological problem instead of a psychological problem.
Was that his first, though?
That was his first.
Ha, ha, ha. Kirstie Alley's fat again? That's it? That's what he came up with?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, look at him now. So
yeah, really.
So he started off
strong. I'm not going to criticize until I hear mine.
Yeah. All right. This is from May of 2007.
2007.
2007. Early adapter.
At work, eating a salad from Burger King.
Dave.
Gotta be Dave.
King of Mexico.
Oh, how did you guys know that?
Because stupid, and it's about food.
That's the worst. That's your first tweet.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Linda, listen.
He had a picture of his salad.
Listen.
No, sweetie, darling.
No, Linda, darling.
When Twitter was announced to us, it was supposed to be like, hey, it's a Facebook update, but all the time. So I guess at that time I was
eating. It wasn't just that time. I remember for a couple of years mocking you for putting photos up of the food you're eating.
A lot of people would use Twitter that way initially, like going to the gym, and that would be the thing.
Yeah,
and
that's how it was supposed to start.
Just checking in.
Yeah. Salad. So but I was ahead of time. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Eating a salad. Even you had to say, this is just, why am I sharing this information?
Yeah, that was awful, especially since I was fat.
With a stupid picture of your salad.
That's it. Tweet us.
All right, what else you got? First
All right. Tweet. This one's from January of 2009. Banging.
Banging?
Yeah.
Banging.
Banging.
Just one word, banging?
No period, nothing. Just now, banging.
Who are the possibilities? It's you, Dave. It's Lisa. It's
everyone
me, it's
on
Ralph.
The show. And Psycho Mike.
And Psycho Mike.
Since he was
Psycho Mike.
Oh, then that's Psycho Mike then.
Yeah, that it's has to be Psycho Mike.
And you are all wrong. It's Kevin.
Kevin's first tweet was that's banging?
What? Banging. Why, Kevin? Explain yourself.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Why would I have tweeted banging?
Who knows why you do anything? You were probably trying to write Kings won last night. And you just typed banging.
Banging? I don't even...
Maybe he was searching a website and he tweeted by accident.
Well, that's possible. I do that a lot. But wow, that's weird. I don't. I have no explanation for that.
Not good. All right, this is March of 2011.
Banging. Dumb.
March 2011?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yeah, I was late. I was late.
Because he was late.
Wait, hold on. Listen.
All right.
Night.
Mike.
Yeah, it's got to be Mike. It's got to be Kathy. Saying goodnight. He does it a lot.
Lisa May.
No!
That was Lisa May's first tweet.
First one?
That was actually your first composed tweet. You were responding to some people, but this was your first thought. Your first tweet.
Night. Tweet us.
I hate people who do that.
We needed to know when you were going to sleep,
Lisa. I only did
Lisa.
It once.
People still
I'm
do
sure.
that all the time.
I know.
Good morning. And you see that all the time.
Good morning,
I apologize.
Yeah. Night, tweeps.
We all apologize. Mine's all right. The best so far, I think.
Banging. That's banging. I thought every once in a while I'm banging.
All right.
Banging on a part of us.
This one's going to be easy. It's from August of 2010. You win. My buddy has dragged me kicking and screaming into the Twitterverse.
Oh, Ralph Garman.
That's Ralph. Yeah.
Ralph mocked us and mocked us and mocked us and then finally realized.
Hated Twitter. Hated me.
Yeah, hated all of us.
Yeah. Kevin Smith forced me to join.
Yeah.
He took me aside and said, look, you need to do this. It's awesome. And I said, all right, because of you, I'll do
it. Yeah, this was in response to Kevin. All right. Here's a new one. From November of 2009. Tweet, bitches.
Tweet, bitches.
That's got to be Psycho Mike. That's got to be Mike.
I think it's Mike. Yeah.
I'd say Mike.
Beer mug.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
You didn't mention him as one of the possibilities.
Well, we said everyone on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I just wasn't beer thinking mug. Of him.
What was it?
Beer mug's been gone for 2 days. We forgot he existed.
Yeah. Tweet, bitches.
Tweet, bitches.
Period.
All right.
He was as hateable then as he is now.
We think everything is Mike.
Tweet us.
Mike's a pretty awful tweeter.
I know.
That's why.
All right. This was from April 2009.
Mike.
Getting ready to start the show, biatch.
Mike.
It's got to be.
I think so, too.
Because he was probably running the board back
then. Who uses
right?
the word biatch except for Mike?
Yeah. Him.
There's a couple of people who ran the board here.
Is it
I'm
not
just
Mike?
Saying.
I'm saying it's Mike.
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 It's Mike.
Yeah. You're trying to throw us off with your reverse psychology.
Tweet us.
All right. A couple more. From October of 2012, I'm going to start using the word malarkey.
I'm going to start using that word.
In malarkey. Quotation marks, malarkey.
I'm going to start using the word malarkey.
Well, because of the year, I think it might be Omar. Because he started pretty late.
But wait.
Malarkey's not his style, though.
No, but that's who do we have left?
How about
we
Chip? Have Chip? How about Chip?
There are repeats.
Chip, because
we've
had,
we have repeats?
We've had Mike twice, haven't we?
Nope.
No.
Oh, there's no repeats. No. So it can't
this
be
is the first. Only, there's only one first tweet from everybody.
Well, that's what I thought.
Could it be Chip?
I think it's Chip. I think it's got to be Chip. Malarkey sounds like a Chip word to me.
More than an Omar. Omar's going to be poop.
Omar's just poop. Yeah.
Omar's got to be something
okay.
about poop.
Okay, so let's go Chip.
Omar.
What? No way.
Damn, you talked me out of Omar.
He's not a malarkey guy.
I know.
He wouldn't tweet that. But he wanted to start using, remember?
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow.
Tweet us.
There's only Everybody one left.
All right, last one. September of 2010. Do you hear that? Melfon is coming.
Yeah.
Chip.
Melfon.
Chip.
Nope.
What?
The Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah. Woo. That's when we started.
You. That's the first thing we wasted our tweet on?
Yeah. Malfon.
Oh, it should have been taken away from us then.
We suck.
We welcome to the studio Omar Epps.
Good morning.
Welcome.
How you doing?
You want to know your first tweet?
Yes. I think
tell
it
me
was,
what you think it is.
I think it was testing 1-2, but I'm not sure.
Testing 1-2. All right. This is Omar Epps' first tweet.
Uh-oh.
Relaxing at home, about to watch one of my wife and I's favorite shows, Big Love.
Really?
That was your first tweet.
No.
That's what.
Wow.
That was my first tweet.
Although I do love Big Love. That was a great show.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very twisted.
Yeah. In all the right ways.
Absolutely.
Omar, of course, on House for how many years? 13?
Eight seasons.
Eight seasons.
Yeah.
Turned that. That's a grind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a grind, but you know.
Tell me about the hours on that, because I'm curious why you would get back into that again.
Well,
with an hour long drama.
When you're building anything in the entertainment business from the ground up, it's going to be a lot of hours. It's going to, you know, you're trying to find that rhythm. And so, you know, 16-hour days, and you just grind it out and do what you got to do.
How many days a week? Six?
No, 5 days a week.
Five days a week.
We made up a day called Fratterday.
Ah.
Which
is our night.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, you work. But, I mean, look, I love what I do. So, you know, I love that whole process.
A lot of people get worn out by that process and say, you know what? I don't want to do another hour drama because it's such a grind. You know, you watch the people that do the comedies. You know, they work about an hour a day, I think. I'm not positive, but...
Me, again, I love what I do, and I like the challenge of that. I like the challenge of building something like that from the ground up, because it's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
you know, people see successful television shows, and they're like, oh, it's just looks like, you know, you just get some great writing, you know, the director and some actors.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, so I love that challenge, and believe me, it's, you know, I'm not like a cop or a fireman or a teacher, like, you know, there are jobs that, you know, real people are doing in the world that, you know, there's no complaints on my end.
Right.
You know, no matter what the hours are, it's like, not running into like burning buildings or something.
Do you have did you have a part of your brain that thought, you know, House was so successful, had such a hardcore fan base, and went on for so long? Did you have that thing in your head where I need to be careful what I do next because it's going to be compared?
No, not really. No, I just follow my heart. I try to, you know, not think about those type of things. I just try to stay innocent in terms of my passion. You know, what attracts me to this thing? It's like what attracted me to House. You know, it's funny. Like, and I always say this. Like, people talk about House after the fact. Like, oh, it was genius. It was brilliant. I'm like, you weren't saying that in the first couple.
Is that right?
You know, when
the first
couple
of years were rough.
Well, when we were first coming on, you know, the consensus was, "What House? You know, how's this going to be a hit show? Who's going to like this guy?" You know, and because of what was on television at that time, you hadn't seen a character like House,
right,
or a show like that. So. To me, it's like that same challenge I saw then. You know, I just try to, you know, just stay focused on that. And, you know, I saw that in Resurrection, like, oh, wow, this was kind of different and, you know, challenging.
How many other scripts would you guess you had read or been told about?
I read probably, honestly, probably like 35 to 40 scripts.
Wow.
And
it just didn't click like this one.
No, because it was, you know, a lot of it was formulaic, you know, okay, I see where they're trying to go with this
one. Did they try to make you a doctor?
No, okay. Not again. but it was just like, okay, you know, some of them were kind of interesting. You know, Resurrection just jumped out of the pile. To me, it just jumped out of the pile like, whoa, what's this? This is...
Tell people who haven't seen... It's been on... Twice,
yeah.
Tell people who haven't seen the first two episodes what it's about. It's fascinating.
Well, Resurrection is exploring that, you know, that big what if, you know, what if people who, you know, passed away returned. And it's we're approaching it from a perspective of, you know, what do ordinary people do under extraordinary circumstances? So it's not like, you know, a creepy zombie show, or it's not like that. It's like, you know, the for people who haven't seen it, maybe check it out. It's on demand. But like in the first episode, this 8-year-old kid, you know, comes back and his parents are, you know, 30 years older. So they're in their 60s. He's still a little kid.
He's still the age he was then.
Yeah.
And they can't get their heads around it.
Well, of course not.
Which I love, because they didn't just give a nod to that. Like, and then all of a sudden they embraced him and everything. And it was great.
Right.
They still, throughout that whole first episode, they were still wondering what the F and how, and we don't understand this. And
they still are. Yeah. I mean, all of the, you know, episode 3 is about to come on, but, you know, these characters are still trying to figure out, is this real? Is this really happening? And so, you know, that's a great approach, because what do you do when, you know, the past spills itself into your presence?
And it's impossible.
And it's impossible. It is impossible, but there's also this notion of, like, you know, we all, you know, have... we've lost loved ones and that sort of thing, and we would all want that, you know, we do so much work to, you never fill that void, but to sort of patch that over,
right?
That imagine if that patch was ripped off of your heart and you just had to deal with it,
and that person is right there
and that person is right there. And then the other thing in where the season goes is, okay, well, there are some people who are returning that aren't so, you know, cool.
Right.
You know what
people
I mean?
People weren't missing them so
not
much.
So happy
people
to
weren't
see
missing them so much. So, you know, we explore a lot, you know, in this first season, and we do have a hell of a cliffhanger for the season.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
What is it? I'm just kidding. Omar Epps is here. He's on, he's the star of Resurrection. It's on Sundays at 9 on ABC. We'll take a break and come right. Omar Epps is in the studio with us. He is the star of Resurrection, which is on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. on ABC. It's a fascinating show about people starting to come back to this one town. Is it focused? Is the whole season focused on this one town?
Yeah. Arcadia, Missouri.
Arcadia, Missouri. Yeah. And you play an immigration officer?
Yeah. I play Agent J. Martin Bellamy, who's, you know, we start out. There's a kid who pops up in China. He doesn't have any papers. My character's just supposed to, you know, transport him to human services. The kid won't talk to anybody, forms a bond with my character, with Bellamy. You know, he says he lives here in Arcadia, Missouri. These are his parents. And so, you know, trying to do his job, but be a good Samaritan. Drive this kid home.
A little extra.
You know, a little bit extra. But, drives
you did say you owe me.
He drives him home and, you know, knocks on the door and asks this guy, you know, did you lose your son? I have him. And he's like, my son died 32 years ago. And that's sort of how Bellamy is thrust into the story.
And your character's right in the middle saying, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's a kid in my car.
Yeah, and then the kid then basically the kid says a joke to his father
that only he would
that
know.
Only he would know, and the father just just answers it, and and that's how we sort of jump into this thing.
And then you realize he's not the only one coming back, and even the first episode, I think the other guy
right
came,
at the end. We see the other guy. Yeah,
and he's the guy where you start realizing, okay, they're not all good. They're not all good.
Right.
What do you think?
I could kill him, and no one would know.
What do you think about being on Sunday nights at 9? That's a hell of a time slot as far as a lot of competition.
A lot of really great shows on Sunday nights for sure.
I have to tape most of Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think a lot of people, depending on what you do, I mean, Sunday night is kind of the come down, you're getting ready for the new week. And so people watch live, but depending on what you do and what your lifestyle is, mostly people are taping everything anyway,
Tell us about how you learned about that with House, about the first couple of years. And
TiVo had just come out. And when we were doing House, I think it was 2008. 2008.
Yes.
Yeah. It was back in 1922.
It was actually 2004.
It was 2004.
Yeah, you were right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so TiVo was new and all that stuff was new. And what did it mean to ratings? And what we found after like 2 or 3 years, they had to account. It's like 20-25% of your audience is taping this stuff.
That you weren't getting credit for.
So you weren't getting credit for.
So we didn't get credit for a quarter of our audience for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, they had to, Nielsen and those guys, they had to catch up and say, hey, we've got to reformat how we're rating these things. And they did, and I think they're doing a good job of it now. So, but yeah, first couple of years were rough.
You were way more popular than you thought.
We were on the chopping block.
Wow. It was, I'll tell you what, though, the commercials for this show were great.
Yeah.
They sold me immediately. I saw it one time, and it was sort of weird. You didn't know what was going on. But
yeah. I mean, I think ABC has done an incredible job, promoting the show, because it's kind of a very hard sell, and this is something that, initially, even when I met with the creative team, just talking with them in the network, like, how are you going to promote this thing?
Yeah.
Because, people are immediately going to think, oh, it's a zombie show. And it's totally not.
It's not.
It's really a family drama. That's really how it plays. But how do you – I mean, I was impressed. By these guys know what they're doing over at the network.
But in this particular case,
well, with our show, and that those posters that they had,
Those billboards?
Yeah. Did I really die? I thought it was so great because it wasn't about – a show. It was just something that, if you're just walking down the street, you're like, what's that?
Yeah.
And then they had the hashtag Resurrection ABC. So it was just like, it just got people really intrigued. We just want to keep the momentum going.
Did you go back to the early days of House in your mind as far as launching a new show and trying to get traction? Because it seems like it's much harder now than it was in 2004.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. A lot of stuff is, as we were just talking, how people digest their entertainment is completely different now.
Right.
It's phones, tablets, they're taping this stuff. Internet is huge. And so you've got so many different outlets that you have to touch the people, as I like to say. For me, it's just keeping things simple and studying the terrain and just saying, hey, let's go out there
find
and
our
do
place
it.
And just make it happen.
And at the end of the day, the people decide. Yeah. So I think what's been really cool about Resurrection is I think innately it's just one of those social things. It's something that's made for social conversation.
People want to talk about what's your theory. What do you think? Are there clues in there? What did you hear that sounded interesting to you?
They're like breaking it down. Like, what does the jacket mean?
Right.
What is that button on the left? And what's great about it is it's organic. It's just the type of idea where you have theories, you want to know what your friends are thinking, and then you hear other theories out there, and everyone's just having this great social engagement around this concept. So.
Okay, do you know what this is all about? I know you would never tell us, but Lost as an example, they didn't know.
Right.
We have a sense.
We have some ideas.
All right, tell us.
I wish the people could see your face. It's just like, so Yeah, like so innocent. Okay, yeah. Tell us. But yeah, Aaron Zellman, who is one of our EPs and who wrote the pilot, we had a lot of discussions when we were filming the pilot about, you know, is it down this alley? Is it down that alley? And I think, you know, part of which way we can go is how people are reacting, you know?
Okay.
But we definitely have some ideas.
The way you play the character, I think, is brilliant.
Thank you.
Because you're just caught in the middle.
He's and, kind of us.
Yeah, and you yeah, don't exactly. really have yeah. an opinion yet. You
exactly.
haven't figured out yet what's going on. You're looking at the parent, you're explaining to him that the kid's there, but you're just sort of neutral.
Yeah.
You are us. And that, did you make the decision to play it that way?
Yeah, I did. I'm glad you picked that up. To me, Bellamy is a witness. He's yeah. the eyes of the audience. So he's like, just like you just said, this is unfolding before his eyes, like it is for the audience. So he's indifferent, you know, because in one sense, you know, he's trying to figure out, is this even real?
Right.
And then if it is, how is that possible? But I think beyond that, he has an affinity for this young boy, you know, and he feels protective of him. And as the season progresses, that protection spreads out for the family of the boy and then really the town in general.
Your character's arc? Is it just that town is the only place that's happening?
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, you can imagine if you can let your imagination wander, if something like this were to happen,
right.
this would be major. And how would you keep it under wraps?
Right.
You know?
Because people would be descending on that town
yeah.
from everywhere.
From everywhere. You know, what's really cool is like, no matter what your belief is, you know, and this is something else I've been saying, I feel like life and death is the real connective tissue throughout all of humanity.
Sure.
You know, not, you know, ethnicity or class or anything like this. You know, we're alive and we know at least physically we all have our day. And no matter whether you're like, you know, you're a logical science guy, if you're spiritual, if you're religious, if you're atheist, like now, it doesn't matter.
It is all going to end at some point.
Those
for
are the facts.
You. For
right?
you, yeah.
You know, and so it's one of those things where I think it's just such a universal story, you know, and so if it were to happen, you know, imagine, I mean, from, you know, there's the personal aspect, but then think about like the authorities, you know, think about like the cops and then the government, and then think about, you know, the medical world would be, you know, going crazy.
Yeah,
and so, you know, Bellamy finds himself trying to keep all of this reined in.
Trying to fight off the world to kind of keep it.
Well, just trying to, you know,
under control.
As the season progresses, you know, it's kind of growing, and he's just trying to, you know, he becomes an extended family member of the town, and so he feels a need to try to protect the town
yeah.
as you know, as a whole family, and we'll see what happens.
It's an amazing show. I really love it. It's Resurrection. It's on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on ABC. And Omar, you are great in it, and
we
really thank you for the time today.
Oh, appreciate you.
Thanks for coming. Foster, the people of the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:53.
Yeah, those of you just tuning in missed a
great interview with Omar Epps.
Great interview with Omar Epps and a great interview with Matt Walsh earlier today. We got Kevin Smith coming up next. But there was a moment in today's show which may go down in history. can you imagine in a long line of Kevin F-ups, this one just being so spectacular that we had to revisit it just shortly.
We don't have to revisit it.
The premise was
time.
Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show was going to speak with Pope Francis,
right.
Holy Father of the Catholic Church, and talk about his recent snafu where he used the wrong Italian word in a speech, meant to say one thing, ended up saying the F word in Italian. And
it was funny. All right, time for the
show. And Kevin was supposed to just go to the phone, just talk to the Pope. And just madness just ensued. And Kevin was trying to play different elements to enhance somehow the segment. And it ended up being a fiery car wreck of radio. Just a big Lisa would put a sig alert on this if it was on the freeway. There would have been looky loos going in both directions, pulling over to see the carnage.
Come on.
That happened on the airwaves. So here's a little taste of what you missed.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh my God!
That might be the best thing that's ever happened. Sorry. Sorry.
Right.
Let's try that again.
Two.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the intro to the segment.
On.
That was too bad.
That's too long for a moment with. That's like a half hour with.
It's a special movie of the week.
he started playing the recorded segment, and the phone was supposed to, didn't ring. It was, wasn't even supposed to ring, and things were happening.
And this is why I started
buttons
laughing.
Buttons were pushed, and Kevin lost it. And
I lost it because what I was looking for and was unable to find was a moment with me.
Yeah, ain't that something?
I had gotten up a moment with me.
Irony.
To say that I couldn't be Pope because I make too many mistakes in the English language, and I couldn't find the moment with.
Yep.
Wow.
That happened.
That is not good.
That's for real.
Why are you out there? I'm happy you are. I don't understand it.
Must be a lot of masochistic people out there who like to listen to bad radio on the way to work and school.
Well, I think we make them feel better about themselves.
That's very possible. So that may be the only possible reasonable answer why anyone would listen to this show. Because they listen and go, damn, I'm so much better at my job than those guys are at theirs. Jeez, I feel pretty good right now. I didn't think I was much this morning, but now I know
that was
better than those guys.
Not proud of that. Most moments with I can let go and laugh at and have a good time and go home. This one's going to bug me for a while.
Yeah, it's going to bug all of us. It's going to haunt our nightmares. We've been talking this week about Shailene Woodley, star of Divergent. Brand new movie comes out this week, and she was giving out some weird beauty advice this week. And we talked about it yesterday, even with Dr. Drew. Just a quick recap, of course, she likes to eat clay, like we do.
Sure.
Because it absorbs the negative isotopes. See, this sounds like something that Kevin Trudeau would say in one of his infomercials.
Right,
natural cures they don't want you to know about. Eat clay. It bonds with your negative isotopes.
And then you go, what's a negative isotope?
I don't know, but I heard about it.
It needs to be bonded.
Some herbalist told me they were bad. She also brushes her teeth with oil instead of water because she says plaque is fat soluble, not water soluble.
Okay.
So you can use sesame oil or coconut oil, a variety of oils you can just rinse around your mouth before you brush your teeth.
Is she a hippie-ish?
I get the vibe that she's a little...
Okay.
A little...
Earthy?
Yeah.
A little brown rice and granola a little bit. Okay. Yeah, a little waterbed and lava lamp. the one we really focused on was she said that your vagina needs an hour of sunshine every day.
Which we agree with.
Absolutely. That's why we strap a sun lamp to my penis. Because I'm thinking of the ladies.
Sure.
But this one is new. This was just added, another part of the interview we hadn't really touched on, where she says the important thing to do when you're out there in the world, the way to be happy, is to be pregnant with the world. Please let me expand on this idea by quoting from Shailene herself. Close your eyes and think about all the other women out there who aren't in the positions to be on the red carpet at a Hollywood night like tonight, enjoying this beautiful weather with all those beautiful smiles. And put those women in your womb and be pregnant with them. And send them love.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Apparently, shining the sun on her vagina for an hour a day has made her womb so big that she can have all the women in the world inside of it. And she can be pregnant with them, which I think is really heartwarming and vagina warming.
She, you could tell from the statement, too, that if she were backed into a corner, she believes that. Hey, this is not just crazy.
She seems like
talk.
A very happy person.
She
so
does.
I guess there's an upside to all this. Sadly, the rest of us know junk like science and stuff. It just brings us down and bums us out all the time. But if you can live in fairyland with Bjork and the fairies and all the other people, it's just...
Now, is that advice good for men, too? Because we don't really have
a womb
so much.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What could we use instead of a womb? Trying to think. Oh, that's right. Colon.
Yeah.
I'm going to put all the men who can't be on the radio this morning in my colon. And I'm going to carry them around with me today. Guys, you're all welcome inside my colon.
Nice.
I want all the men to know, while the ladies are in Shailene's womb, you'll all be warm and safe inside my colon.
See, we're learning and we're growing.
We are learning
Thank
and
you,
growing.
Shailene.
I know my colon is growing as all the men climb inside.
A lot of them want to be there.
Say. Little her! In the news today, people saying she may have a tenuous grasp on sobriety. The fact that the minute she was done filming her docuseries for the OWN network, for Oprah's network, she fired her sober living coach, a guy named Michael Cormier, who apparently is one of the big guys for celebrities to follow you around and slap drinks out of your hands.
I saw the first episode. He was a sober living coach at the place in Malibu where she went for rehab.
So she privatized his work? Is he good looking? Is he strapping? Is he young?
No.
He's
just fine. He's okay.
He's just harsh and mellow.
I wonder if maybe she was bringing him along for...
boop, boop, boop. A little sunshine, you know what I'm saying? Vitamin D.
I would guess that was an Oprah call. I mean, I really would bet.
They had to make sure somehow that she was going to stay on the rails.
Right.
Anyway, the minute they stopped filming, she fired the guy because he kept saying, you shouldn't be hanging out with this guy named Gavin Doyle, who's one of her hardcore party buddies. So she chose party buddy over sober living coach. That was the first red flag. Friends say also she hasn't attended an AA meeting in months, and blames her poor attendance on the paparazzi, saying she just simply can't go because the paparazzi hawk her everywhere she goes. I don't know. Have them come to you.
Yeah.
Have a meeting at your house. Nobody's following those people. And this is great news. I want to give a shout-out to our boy Patton Oswalt. You know, he's one of our favorites.
He's the best.
He is the best. He'll be doing, of course, our April Foolishness show, which, again, is Saturday, April the 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Great lineup this year for April Foolishness, our comedy show we do each spring. Jim Jefferies, Patton, as I mentioned, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Iff, Taylor Williamson, Mike Realm will be providing the house music. There's still a few tickets available if you want to go, and you should go, because all the proceeds go to Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. It's a great cause on both counts. Go to Ticketmaster.com and get your tickets for April Foolishness on Saturday, April 5th. Now, the reason I bring up Patton is because he is living the geek's dream. He's a geek like me, but he just lives the dream. He keeps doing cool stuff. Just been added to the cast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Patton will be playing a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and it's just very exciting.
The nerds are taking over, aren't they?
They really are. But he gets to live out the nerd dream. Like, he gets to participate in this stuff. He is a huge fan of the show, and they've picked him up to play the role of Eric Koenig, apparently, is the name of the agent he will play. The character is part of Nick Fury's team from World War II soldiers in the original Marvel comics. I guess they're updating it for this one. So we'll have to wait and see. But
can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So I love that show, and I love Patton, so I'm looking forward to seeing it on there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sum 41 singer and guitarist Derek Whibley is 34 years old. Kevin Federline. We're getting a lot of emails saying, is Kevin Federline really qualify as a celebrity?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think still by association.
Yeah. Not by rap career. Remember when he was saying, you'll all see.
Popo Zao. Yep.
You'll see my rap career. You'll see.
He's 36. Reese Darby from Flight of the Conchords is 40. Rosie O'Donnell's 52. Matthew Broderick, also 52. Gary Oldman's 56. Eddie Money, legendary singer, songwriter, rock star, is 65 years old today. Eddie Money! I've got two tickets to paradise. Won't you? Oh, come on!
What?
You keep cutting the music off early.
That's what Omar said.
I know we've got more than that. I know we've got more two tickets to paradise than that. I've got two tickets to paradise. Won't you? Oh, God damn it.
We're running late.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We welcome Kevin Smith to the studio.
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Kevin and Kevin show.
It's the Kevin and Kevin and Ralph show.
Is beanless? We're without beans?
We're without beans today.
We're sans bean.
Yep.
Heavens. I was listening to the story on the way in.
Oh, okay.
About the airing of the parts.
The sunshine on the parts.
The sunshine
on
the vaginas?
1 hour or 2 hours?
An hour a day. You got to spread your legs for the sun, Shailene Woodley says.
This is now interesting theory.
Gives you vitamin D and it recharges you, she says.
Does it also go for males or just ladies?
She's just speaking for herself there, so I think it's just the lady parts.
I don't know. Maybe it goes for males too. I don't
even know if I could manage, dude. Like, in order to get sun on it, I would need you two to come over.
lift
the rock candy mountain sits on top
there
of it.
Be levers
so
and
we can let some air. Oh, it would be like opening up the Well of Souls, man. You'd hear like, there'd be snakes down there.
Why does it have to be snakes?
Why snakes?
Oh, good Lord.
Start the plane, John!
Can you imagine a woman being sunburned?
I'd never heard that before. I've always heard the opposite. Like, you know, from mothers to wives. Grandma, yeah, keep it. Go put it in the desert. Bury it. Bury your light under a bushel. I'd never heard it. I mean, Lisa, it's the representative of that gender. Would you ever put a little sun on it?
Well, maybe for 10 minutes at the most, because it's never really seen the sun.
I know. So, wouldn't it be like, isn't it like the Dracula of your body?
Yeah,
it's just never.
It doesn't show up in a mirror either, oddly enough.
That's strange.
Very strange. And I believe there's a staking involved as well.
There's a stake involved.
If I remember the lore.
The only way you can kill it. Put a stake right through its heart.
That seems like terrible advice.
This is the girl from Divergence.
Divergence.
She was in something else, though, right?
She was supposed to be
see
Mary Jane in the newest Spider-Man movie that's coming out. But they cut her character out of it.
Oh, they introduced
her. She was going to be MJ.
Because the other one's Gwen Stacy. That's
right. Right.
Sitting there going, what are you talking about?
Do you remember from The Descendants?
She was the daughter?
The oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
She was great. She's a really good actress.
And is she in that Splendor movie or no, The Spectacular Now?
She's one in of those Fault team of the Stars.
Movies? Is that what it is? Right on, and now Divergent, which is supposed to be huge.
It's good. They're hoping it's going to be another Hunger Games type
franchise. Is that like good to you, Kevin?
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw a trailer, and they were like, from the kid's book, and that's when I kind of tuned out.
Dude, but I'm with you.
I got to be honest with you. Once I heard that there's a lot of sun hitting things,
I'm like, I want to see this movie now.
No, this is her personal
I know,
life.
But if that's what's behind the character, I'm a director. I appreciate what goes into every performance. And knowing that actress is just like, I like the sun hitting it. I want to go watch that movie
you
now.
Like her inner monologue?
You want to go make that movie now is what you want to
totally.
Do.
Totally. Follow her around and stuff. That is weird. That is the craziest thing ever.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
In any event, how's everybody doing?
We are good.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
How are
you?
I'm good. I was busy last week?
Yeah, you were in the
last week?
You were, and you're also in the Idaho Film Festival. You were there. They were giving you a little homage.
Can I tell you the story of taking a little plane, a fat man on a little plane?
Please.
So we're going to the Sun Valley Film Festival, which is in Idaho. And, you know, first they called up and said, hey, man, we want to celebrate 20th anniversary of Clerks. And I'm like, Sun Valley, Idaho, that's the town that Bruce Willis owns. Like, Haley, Idaho is right there.
You know who else lives there?
Who?
Adam West.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's got a place in Sun Valley.
This well that
the very high wall
me.
I found out sadly.
And you, to order to get it, you have to walk up it.
Somebody comes out a window.
Somebody pops out a window. It's Bruce Willis, of course. I'm a little like, is he going to be there? They're like, no. I'm like,
you can avoid him in a town.
Totally. Well, it's his town too. I was like, maybe this is a setup. And I get in there, and the cop cars surround me, and they're like, you said a lot of unfunny things about BW, boy. And, you know, hit the deck, boy. And so. They said, he's not even here this year. I said, oh, fantastic, I'll go. And they said one of the cool things is, like, we'll send a plane for you.
Wow,
because
nice.
I guess it's, like, up in the mountains, nestled in the mountains. So I was supposed to go out on, like, Friday, but we were shooting last week, and it went a little bit over. We finished Tusk. Got 2.5 days to shoot out here, and we finally got our guy and finished the movie. So it was wonderful. So then all of a sudden I was backed up to this trip. So I couldn't go on Friday. Saturday we had a family thing and stuff. So I managed to go on Sunday and got a different plane. Now, the plane I was going to go out on was somebody's jet that they own in Sun Valley and the private sponsor of the festival or something like that.
Nice.
And, you know, there's a few people on it. Mariel Hemingway went up there because I guess that's where Ernest Hemingway lived a lot of his life and raised a lot of his kids and then ultimately killed himself in Sun Valley. Had no idea.
Huh. Who knew?
Saw that stitched on a pillow. Very grim pillow. So she was supposed to be on the jet and stuff, and I was a big Star 80 fan, so I was like, this would be rocket, man, to fly up there with her. But I missed that plane, so instead there was another plane. So it comes Sunday morning, so I'm supposed to do this coffee talk at the festival at like 10 o'clock. So 5 o'clock in the morning, it's going to land at the little Burbank Airport, Millionaire Airline, which gate you get out. It's called Millionaire. It looks kind of cool.
That's where the private planes go.
Private
out, right?
Planes. Jason Mewes goes, I go, hey, man, you want to come with me? He's got plays Jay to my son, Bob. And he was like, yeah, they're celebrating Clerks, and he's the only guy who'll get up in the morning. Like, my wife's like, I'm not getting up. So Jason gets up, and we go out to the airport. Ashley's driving us out to the airport. We get on to the airport. If you've never flown privately, I've never afforded it or anything like that. A few times I've been on a private jet. It is so choice, as Ferris Bueller would say. You pull right up to the gate. Then they open a gate and let you onto the tarmac. You drive up to the plane. It's crazy. You know, you're like, why can't we all do this? You realize every airport would be so much more jam-packed. We were all getting dropped off like kids at the airplane. So get out onto the gate, and they're like, there's your plane in the distance, still dark out. See some lights, green lights. Like, green lights are yours. So we drive out to the plane. And you know how, like, when things are far away and you get, you know, they look smaller, and then as they get close, they get bigger. This is the opposite.
What?
It was small in the distance, and as we got closer, it just looked tiny, like a model airplane. And we pulled up in
like
front
a Hot
of it.
Wheels airplane, a little.
It honestly,
toy.
We pulled up the. I have a Lincoln Navigator. Pulled up right next to it. There was more room inside the Lincoln Navigator.
Oh my God!
This was smaller than a Lincoln Navigator with jet engines and wings. Like, at first I was like, is this a Piper Cub? Is this a propeller plane? Because I ain't doing this, man. And then I saw jet engines and stuff. So I get out. I said, let me go talk to these guys before we commit to this trip. And I get out and go talk to the pilots and whatnot. And, you know, they could tell I'm nervous, but I'm like, I'll be honest with you, man. Number one, I got bad karma with this guy to begin with. I don't know if you've heard some things. They're like, we know you, and they're smiling and stuff. And so I was like, no, but number two, I was like, that's a pretty small vehicle, and I just see us listing the whole way, if I mean, unless you sit me right in the middle. And they're like,
don't put him in the back. Don't put him in the tail section. Please, yeah, we'll never land.
You might need to put me right on top, holding on or something like that to keep it level. And he goes, listen, this thing is incredible. He's going, see that jet right next to us? And there's a normal private jet. He's like, flies just like that. He's going, but it's way greener than that jet. I'm like, you know what? I don't care about green. As we're
moment.
Burning in the woods after a plane goes down, a few less rabbits die. I don't care. Like, that's not what I'm about, dude. I want to know, will we make it?
The only green you care about is the stuff you smoke before you get on the
plane. Totally.
Ride.
I was like, I'm going to need some of that green before we hit the air. I asked these guys, I was like, where'd you, how long have you been flying? One captain's like, I've been flying since before World War II and stuff. I'm doing the math in my head going, so he's got to be at least 50. The other guy, the younger guy, is like, I've been flying for like since I was 12 and stuff. And he looked to be about my age or maybe a little younger. So they were like, look, both of us want to go home tonight. So,
yeah.
And I said, all right, well, there you go. That's the way to talk me out of the plane. I was like, you guys got plans? I got plans.
Right.
I
want to
go make
to
a movie.
For.
Totally. We all got sent. So let me go get my friend. Go to the nav to pick out Muse, pick Muse up, open the door. Like a cartoon cat in an elevator. He is just against the back wall of the car. With his arms spread out, just no, just will not move as if I'm reaching for him. I'm like, you're going to go? And he goes, that plane looks small. And I was like, come look at it. It's not that bad. Once you get outside.
He lied.
Yeah, I did. Because once I stood next to the plane, he goes, like, you and me are going? And I was like, well, that's the idea. He's like, all right. I was like, dude, I think they say they got stuff to do tonight. They want to go home. I think we'll make it, man. It's like an hour and a half flight. Like, if I don't get on this, I miss this thing. Like, I got to get on it. So I'm pot committed, man. I don't want to let these cats down. I understand if you don't want to. And he goes, no, I'll do it. I'll just look at my iPad the whole trip. So we get in this thing, and I swear to you, it's like getting back into the Navigator. We're that close. I put up a picture on Instagram. I could have leaned forward to the pilot and been like, are we there yet? The whole trip without moving much or anything. It was nuts. So we're like just a knee's length away from each other, but it is a private jet, not propeller. So, you know, you feel generally like, all right, it's going to make it, more so than like,
right.
Like a plane that sounds like a lady's vibrator. I want something. Sounds like a jumbo jet. So door closes. They turn around to give you the seatbelt thing. And the guy goes, you better put them on. And that was the lecture.
Oh.
I was like, right on. And for the first time ever in my life, I was just like, I am definitely putting this on, leaving this on the whole trip. I'm not unbuckling it to eat lunch or anything. Like, I'm going to stay in this thing, double lock it. So the guy turns around and they start their, like, you know, pilot to tower, check, contact, all that stuff they say. I look over at Muse, who's sitting like next to me but slightly ahead, and there's no pallor whatsoever. He looks like he's lost all tone, all melatonin. It's nothing. It's just like he looks like an albino at this point. And I was just like, are you all right? He goes, I can't do this. And I was like, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, I can't. I'm starting to get like claustrophobic or something like that. And I was like, well, why don't you get out now? He goes, no, I got to sit next to you. We got to make sure you make it. I was like, who's going to make sure you make it? Like, if you're having a panic attack, have it here on the ground. You don't have it up in the air because they can't find a landing space. Or if you reach for the door,
that's
like, it's you or me, and I'm going to break your neck. Like, don't. If you're going to leave, get out now. And he's just like, I can't do it. And he's like, I should get out. And I was like, hey. And I had to lean forward and go like, hey, man, can we open the door? And they're like, sure, what's up? And I was like, he can't make it. And they look at him, they're like, oh, get him off. Because he's looking like he's melting.
Wow.
We open the door. He launches out of the little plane, goes 10 feet away and stares at it, you know, as if it had just touched him wrong or something like that. And so I go over to talk to him, and I was just like, it's too tight for you? Muse, like, grew up weirdly, like his mom was a heroin addict, so she would like take him to people's houses. He'd get locked in closets of strangers while his mom went out and party with his sister for like 6 hours, and he'd not know anything, and then they'd let him out and crap. So tight places, like really wig him out and stuff. So I was like, I get it, dude. I got to make the trip. You don't have to and stuff. And he's just like, all right. And the pilot comes over and he's just like, I just want to say one more time for the record, we all want to go home tonight. I was like, that's going to work on me.
Not him.
You can't jet out my trick. This guy like is too panicked. So Muse stayed behind on the tarmac. I waved to him and we took off in this plane. And it was the it was a smooth ride. Like once you got used to the idea, it was almost like joyous because it felt like a flying car. I was like, this is as close to the flying car as we get. We're tight. The wings, it's flying like a jet. It was almost Jetsons time. It was unbelievable. But facing the fear, like I got on, I closed the door. And as I was sitting there, I prayed the most I've prayed in years. Okay. And I'm sitting there going like, you know what? I've had a good run. You know, and the movie's done. Tusk is done. And
it's final film
testimony to who I am. Like, it's brilliant. Everything had lined up so nicely that I felt like if this is like the end, my end credit role, if this is like the sister Christian moment of my boogie nights of my life, and someone's going to start throwing firecrackers at me in the next 5 minutes and stuff, everything's going to go wrong with Thomas Jane by my side, who then got off the plane and left me alone. But I was like, if this is it, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm all right. If we go down, we go down. If I big bopper it, I big bopper it, man.
If I big bopper it, I big bopper it.
I sat there going, the movie would probably do better and stuff. Then
you probably get some nice obit pieces,
you know,
too.
What I'm saying? People like,
the internet might be nice to you for a change.
They'd have to reconsider everything, you know what I'm saying? Except for the me flying and weight thing. They'd be like, you know what took them down? Too fat to fly was right.
Southwest was right.
Yeah, Southwest, like, we are vindicated.
Kevin Smith is here. We need to take a break. You guys doing Babylon or no?
We're doing one tonight, but it's sold out.
Sold out, we can't
sell that one. But Kevin's got some other shows coming up. You want to see Kevin Smith with some other funny people, we'll tell you where to go.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is also here. It is 9:28.
That's so my dream, Kevin and Bean. I'll be honest with you. My dream is Kevin and Kevin.
Let's face it.
Don't tell you, he's not here, so I can say
Kevin.
It out loud.
Your dream is Kevin.
There's that as well.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Kevin and the other Kevin who used to be here.
Kevin and guests.
Either way, the dream still doesn't include your name in the title.
Don't think that was lost on me for a second. Trust me.
What is going on in your world other than the podcast?
Have you spoken about, I guess you guys talked about me and Ralph doing Batman 66.
Yes.
Which is huge, which is awesome.
Ralph is super excited about that. I was proud of you guys.
It's such a cool thing. Yeah. But it's a very cool thing for Ralph.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the other thing that just closed?
I don't think I've mentioned that one yet.
I got a call the other day.
It's like we didn't have any time to talk off the air.
No. We didn't strategize. Nope. We were too busy. I was actually asking, what's going on in the geek news? I was looking forward to this weekend's Babylon. I got a call the other day from our guy, Elliot, over at AMC, and he was like, AMC Networks, the home of The Walking Dead and Comic Book Man, both on Sundays. One way bigger than the other.
Tell you which one is.
Yeah, so. Take a guess. One featuring a guy who would feed an army of zombies, so they really should cross over. Elliot was calling to congratulate both me and my good friend Ralph Garman, who he was going to call to congratulate separately and probably called before me, on closing a deal to do a Hollywood Babylon pilot at AMC.
Awesome.
Which we're going to do in the next, 3 months, it seems like.
Yeah, real soon.
They want to do it before
half hour, May. Hour? What's the...
Right now, I think it's an hour-long, once-a-week
weekly
format.
Show. That's weekly what they're show. Talking about. Maybe, may change at some point, but it's going to be... We're attempting to do the Hollywood Babylon TV version of the podcast.
It will be a separate thing? You won't record it at Babylon?
That was my dream. Because, Lord. Yeah, an 80s comedy show where you used to, click around a cable and a dude be standing in front of a brick wall.
Right.
They literally just put up a camera in Comedy Club. My dream was always just, do what we do, put cameras on it. It's a twofer, and then we all go home happy. But unfortunately, they expect results in television.
Yes, they would actually like to have a television show instead of us just...
Suddenly there's production
involved. A different one, yeah.
We're going to build a set, and we'll have a studio audience, and we'll talk more about that when we're looking to put people in the seats.
But the nice thing is, Ralph, of course, as you hear him here all the time, just like on Hollywood Babylon, he's the man of 1,000 voices.
Yep.
So on a TV show, we could actually put him in some makeup and hear that voice and stuff.
True.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be theater of the mind. You could actually look at Ralph.
When might that happen?
Why?
Well, like Kevin said, we're going to produce it in the next couple months, and then they'll take a look and they'll see if they're going to order episodes or whether that thing will join the vault of also two dozen pilots I've done that have never gotten picked up and never went to series. Whether that
as you, you can hear about a hope in his voice.
Yeah,
this thing's going to take off. But this is the year
DVD
it turns.
Will also be a coaster on my coffee table. We'll see.
This is the turnaround year, dude. This is the year where you're writing Batman. You're 66. You're making pilots for your own show. The important lesson here, kids, is Ralph went off and did himself a little podcast. Didn't make any money off it until later on, and that was never the aim. It was because he was just like, this would be fun.
Right.
And how long have we been doing it? 3 years,
three
max?
And a half, yeah,
three and a half, maybe going on to four. 4 years later, just because he wanted to sit around, goof around with his friend, make a podcast, it has aggregated into a potential television show. Definitely a pilot, and then potentially a television show beyond that. Go out and record a podcast, for heaven's sake. You got a laptop, you got a cell phone. Just press record, sit down, talk to whoever you want to. Like, it is.
And in 4 years, you will have a show as well.
Just like us.
It's guaranteed.
And you will follow our blueprint. Don't discourage them. Stranger things have happened, man. They're looking at two bitter, middle-aged men and putting them on television all because of a podcast. That's hope, kids.
And this is our third go-round with this project.
Oh, is it?
We've been in other places, too, where they talked about developing it and stuff that never came to fruition.
We clicked into the right place.
This is kind of worth the wait to be on AMC. Which is one of the great networks on television, and then to give us a shot.
You're going to bump Walking Dead, do you think?
Yeah, we'll probably knock that out of the schedule.
You watch. Yeah. They're like zombies. Why look at the Living Dead or the Walking Dead when we can look at the Living Dead? Look at these two.
Their souls are dead, but their bodies are still moving.
But it's going to be a blast, man.
That's awesome.
It's such a good time.
Congratulations.
And it's really predicated on Ralph. Babylon's always been his baby, as anybody who listens to the show would know. I'm just the guy that sits next to him and laughs, so I get to kind of coattail it along for this trip.
That's my role on this show.
I know. See, I'm the other Kevin.
Uh-huh. It's a Kevin thing.
That's right. We just hold on to Ralph.
Climb on.
Takes us wherever he goes.
Speaking of podcasts, you got Edumacation with our friend Andy.
I do.
Very funny guy.
Me and Andy McElfish do a podcast called Edumacation, which we just took live at the Comedy Store a couple weeks ago and sold out. I mean, it was a belly room. It's a small room, but still took it live, sold out. We're doing it again, I think, March 29th at the Comedy Store. Very, very funny show. Tickets at csmod.com. God, I feel like Bean for a second there.
Bean's usually our plug guy.
He loves the plug guy.
He's strange, though, because that's his favorite part.
He's so good at it, though.
At plugging the details.
But when you have a special skill set, like,
I agree.
Like, show it off. He's proud of it.
He's the Liam Neeson in Taken of plugs. He's got a very specific set of skills that allows
Liam
him to do
Neeson
that.
Liam Neeson in Taken.
I thought you meant like he would chase you under a bed to give you a plug.
We're going to be at the Comedy Store, everybody.
All right, we need to take another break.
Come on,
stick around for the showbiz.
I want to
hear what's going on.
All right, 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42. Kevin Smith is joining us.
Hello,
Ralph Garman is here.
Yeah,
a little taste of Babylon this morning.
Cool.
Final showbiz
preview.
Susan, if you will. A splash, crush your face, neck, and chest.
Babylon tonight at the Improv. Unfortunately, it's sold out, so you can't go. So
that money we're going to use to buy tickets, spend it to see Edumacation on March 29th. Kevin Smith, Andy McElfish, very funny at the Comedy Store.
So many girlfriends.
Many lovers.
I got one. I just do the show with him.
This is me. It's weird. Whenever I come here, it's like me going to visit you with your wife, and they're okay with you having a side thing. Like I'm an accepted Gumar here or something like that. Feels dirty, but
Ralph just sits at home mad because Kevin's out.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody else.
Bastards.
It doesn't really matter much for you guys listening unless you listen to the podcast, but we're also doing our first European tour this summer with Babylon.
Awesome.
We're doing Dublin, Ireland, and Birmingham, England, and then the UK. We're going to close out with a big show there.
Birmingham sold out already,
isn't it? Muse, yeah.
Wow.
And London's about to sell out. It's crazy.
O2? You're doing O2?
Where is it?
The O2.
It's
the O2 Academy.
it's a 3,200 seater.
Yeah,
pretty big. It's not the, of course, arena, but hey, man, you know, I was feeling good about our 3,200 seats, and you're not doing arenas yet? You're not Dane Cook?
The enormous
dude. We can't all be Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Damn it, man.
Sorry, I'm happy for you.
I was walking around with spring in my step.
You should.
Now
you don't like cock at a walk? Now I just feel like half of that.
The walk?
Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm.
Kesha's out of rehab, and she says she's much better than she was, and she's changing everything about her life. She will no longer go by $ha. No more $ in Kesha. Now it's just Kesha.
At least she didn't replace it with like a cross or something like that.
Ampersand or something, even harder to say.
Wow, good for her, man.
She's also changed her Twitter handle.
Whoa.
From
take it easy.
Yeah.
Kesha Sucks with two X's to Kesha Rose. See, it's softer now. It's a softer, gentler Kesha.
Why not? Yeah, but she didn't commit to Kesha Rocks.
No, she didn't.
That's true healing if she goes from sucks to rocks. Yeah. But still, baby steps. Good for Kesha Rose.
I don't know whether she'll be brushing her teeth with Jack Daniels any longer.
Probably not.
Maybe at least she's not brushing her teeth with oil.
Maybe she'll use that coconut oil from Shailene Woodley.
Look, I brush my teeth with oil, too, when I eat French fries. And I eat a lot of them, so that's like brushing my teeth.
You consider that brushing?
Yeah, it's all like eating a fistful of wisps. Okay. Just brushing my teeth with oil. whole time.
When Kevin says he has a dental appointment, it means he's going through a drive-thru.
You get surprised.
That's right. For those of you know what we're talking about, Shailene Woodley, star of this weekend's new movie, Divergent, released her beauty tips this week. We covered this a little bit earlier in the week, but I wanted to give you an update. First of all, she said you need to eat clay because there's a clay that you can
Who's
eat.
Who's that?
No, it's an actual substance.
I was getting ready. I was like, find this clay and I will eat him to be young forever.
You eat it and it bonds with your negative isotopes. And then it takes all the heavy metals out of your body.
What if you're full of positive isotopes that are far too positive, obviously? If I was negative isotope, man, I wouldn't need to be dropping.
But you might have some heavy metals that you want to get out of your body.
That's true.
Yeah. You do brush your teeth with oil, not water, because she says the plaque on your teeth is fat soluble. It's not water soluble.
Finally, somebody said it.
Yes.
Is that true? So basically,
we have no idea if any of this is true, mind you.
But it sounds like one of those quasi facts where you're like, huh, you know, did she get that from real life or did she get that from CSI?
Yeah. Dr. Drew seems to not believe. We talked to him yesterday about it. He doesn't seem to believe any of this is valid. I, too, was dubious because it would seem like medical professionals, dentists, for example, would know all about plaque and teeth and what takes it off and what doesn't.
And look at the bottle of Wesson and see if it says 4 out of 5 dentists recommend.
Gargle with this.
Man.
Of course, we talked about her sunshine on her vagina. It's got to be an hour a day to regenerate her, to rejuvenate her.
Is that
her,
the sequel to that movie?
Sunshine on the vagina. Yes. Divergent 2, Sunshine of My Vagina. But now we add this fact, which I did not know, and we have not covered this week, that for a happy life, Shailene recommends that you envision all of the other women out there, if you're a woman, envision all the other women who aren't in as lucky a position as you are, and you put those women in your womb, and you're pregnant with them. Be pregnant with them and send them love, she says.
I don't think she understands how that the whole thing works.
I don't think so. Either.
No, that's pretty. It's a nice thought. She's just like, rather than me,
why
just
can't
like,
I just
this
keep
is
in
me.
My heart. Why do I have to keep them in my womb?
Maybe she confused the two.
She's pregnant with them.
Yeah, she's like, my heart's my widow womb. Maybe that's what she meant.
It's She's nonsense, kid, however Ralph. You look at it.
It's a lot of women in one womb.
She's brushing teeth with oil. This is the least of her issues, man.
There are grown women living in her womb. I'm saying that's a whole other feature film that I'd like to see.
Yeah, talk about Divergent.
Womb underneath the stairs. There's a bunch of women in there. Let me out! I'm stuck in Shailene Woodley's womb.
Womb with a view. I think Drew Barrymore may have some problems, too. She was at home this week with her one-year-old daughter, Olive, when someone kept knocking at her door. Drew panicked and immediately called 911. The local police dispatched a helicopter over her home, only to discover that it was the AT&T servicemen trying to fix her phone. They were knocking so they could fix her phone for her.
Okay.
She just panicked?
Yes. I mean, you had me for a minute there. I was like, look, I'm normally not the world's biggest Drew Barrymore fan, but if her child and her are threatened... Bring more than one helicopter. And now you tell me she didn't bother to look out the door and
That's
be like,
what I'm saying.
I think this is the guy I called. Did she call for him or some assistant do it?
I have no idea, but they were there to work.
Wow.
And she skipped a very important part of the process, which is, who is it? She ignored that part and went right from knock on the door.
Ding dong. SWAT!
It seems like who is it has been a part of our lives forever, right?
Unless you're Drew Barrymore. I think she has been so cloistered since she was a child star that maybe she doesn't know how the world works. Maybe there's some intermediary who handles all her door responsibilities for her.
She hears a bell and she's like, alligators in the sewers. That's from E.T. Kids.
Yes. Or maybe she was Scream. Maybe she was reliving that
Scream
moment
beginning.
In the beginning. Yeah,
A good tip,
kids. What happens
kids?
When the phone rings?
You don't have to open the door for people, but take a look and see who it is.
Right.
If they're wearing a uniform and somebody in your operation called them, let them in.
Let them in.
That's a good tip.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin's insisting.
I'm insisting.
We talk about one of the birthdays today is Eddie Money. One of my favorite all-time musical artists, Eddie Money, celebrates his birthday today. 65 years old.
I don't have anything against Eddie Money, but I don't know how
he's... I love Eddie Money.
I don't know how he's anyone's favorite.
How can you not
Take
love
me
Eddie Money?
Home tonight.
Write that.
Be my little baby.
2 tickets to paradise.
Shaken. I mean, the guy's got just a cornucopia of hits. From the 80s that are just some of my favorite songs.
I wanna go back and do it all over. What are you saying? And feel it all over?
Yeah, well that's what
you're talking singing about your thing? You're like, I'm gonna go back and feel it all over.
Because I'm feeling so much older. That was the other line.
You messed up though. You jumped in with feel.
I feel like we've gone astray.
All right, anyway, so I'm a huge Eddie Money fan. Eddie Money calls up the show one year
and says, "Ralph, I really appreciate you being there for me and carrying the torch and stuff." And I said, "Well, Eddie, I'm a huge fan." He said, "Well, listen, I'm playing at the Orange County Fair. And if you would like, well, I'll do the show, and then for the finale, I invite you out on stage, and you and I will perform together on stage."
No!
Sing with Eddie Money!
Get out of here! Did that happen?
This is a Make-A-Wish Foundation moment for me where I get to go on stage with Eddie Money.
When does it happen?
So this is a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I go down there to the OC Fair, and I go to Eddie's giant RV dressing room thing, and we sit down, and he pulls out his guitar, and we rehearse. We're going to do one of his songs from his first album called Rock and Roll Star. Wanna be a rock and roll star? So we rehearse, and he said, "You do that line, and I'm going to do this line."
So he knows you can sing at that
point.
We're
going to do it. We harmonize, and then we'll sing this together, and it'll be great, and the whole thing. So I said, "Great." He goes, "You stand in the wings, and then after I do two tickets, that'll be the first...
Encore.
Then I'll invite you out, I'll introduce you, and then we sing Wanna Be Rock and Roll Star, and that's the end." I said, "This is going to be the greatest night of my life." So Dave Sanchez, our now producer, was just a lackey at the time. We brought him down to film it because we wanted to get videotape of it. And so he's sitting in the audience suffering through Eddie Money. He's not an Eddie Money fan.
Two tickets to hell.
I'm standing on the side, and Eddie out there, "Two tickets to paradise." Place goes crazy. Eddie Money, I said, "This is my moment." And I walk out on the stage, and at that point, Eddie Money has exited the stage the other side, the other wings, has left the building. He's in his dressing room.
Oh, no!
I'm standing out on the stage. The house lights come up. The band is leaving their instruments. The drummer's wrapped from behind the kit. I'm standing on stage looking around saying, "Oh.
What happened?
Who are you?" I'm waiting for security to tackle me.
Did you just grab a mic or something to make it look like you were cleaning up?
I couldn't. The power was off. The lights were down. They were sweeping the stage. I'm standing there frozen like a deer in the headlights looking out at a sea of people. The Orange County Fair is a big crowd. And so slowly it's like, I just backed off the stage and got off. And I went backstage, and all I heard was from Eddie's dressing room was his wife yelling at him, saying, "How could you forget that he was standing in the wings?" He's like, "We did the show, and it was just automatic. It was autopilot. I knew that was the last song, and I walked out. How could you forget? We got the guy down here from a radio station, and you forget it." I didn't go into that room either. I don't want to be in the middle of that. So that was my moment on stage with Eddie Money. I think we did share actually a moment as he was stepping off the stage, and I was stepping on it.
Barely.
I think we crossed. There was maybe a time stream there for a moment. So it was Eddie Money interrupt us.
It was good times.
That was my moment in the
king of respect this business, yeah. Ralph Garman.
Eddie Money is 65 years old today. There's other people with other birthdays and crap. Look it up. I'm bored.
Thanks for coming in, Kevin. We appreciate
Thanks for having good seeing everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody. See you on Monday. Talk with Matt Money Smith about March Madness, by the way, on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a groovy way of relaxing, opening your senses.
Roll.